great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you again soon, I hope.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And to all of you, as I said, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next, right after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The owner of the coal mine in Huntington, Utah, has indicated a breakthrough could happen this evening, that the small holes drilling in from above should reach the area where six miners are trapped, bringing air, communications, even a remote-controlled camera to take a look and see what's up. Let's get the latest now. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The huge drills are boring closer to where the miners are believed to be trapped, more than 1,800 feet below. It's crucial for them to reach the trapped men because an underground rescue is still days away.
Through those boreholes, we will provide communications, ventilation, sustenance, anything they need to keep them alive indefinitely.
First to be sent down the 2.5-inch hole, a communications device to see if the miners are still alive. If they are, mine co-owner Bob Murray says they'll hear the drill making its way to them. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, outside the Crandall Canyon Mine.
Another body has been recovered by divers in Minneapolis.
Local and federal divers have recovered two victims this afternoon at the scene of the 35W bridge collapse.
Police Lieutenant Dave Heyho. It's believed there are six more bodies in the Mississippi where the bridge came down. The death toll officially now is seven. A bridge has been closed after a moderate 4.5 earthquake, which complicates traffic issues in Santa Clarita, California. An inspection found some cracks and small chunks of fallen concrete at the bridge. Given the Minneapolis situation, they're not making any assumptions at all. A really wild day on Wall Street today. Tons of people telling their brokers to sell. The Dow fell 387 points to close at 13,270. Art Hogan is a stock analyst at Jefferies & Company.
I think investors have to be aware of the fact that there's going to be more volatility. So I would say, you know, throughout the entire month of August and up and through Labor Day, I would expect these markets to be extremely volatile.
The NASDAQ was also down today, off 56 points. The Marine Corps has dropped all of the charges against a captain accused of failing to look into the killings of 24 Iraqi civilians at Haditha properly, and against another Marine accused in some of the killings, charges dismissed. Two of the suspects in a triple execution in Newark, New Jersey, are in jail. The mayor, Cory Booker.
I want the killers off the streets of the city of Newark. I want to give the families as much solace as can come from that.
In the murders, four friends, college students, were forced to kneel in the schoolyard and were shot in the head. One survived and has been talking to the police. The possible motive, according to the police, simple robbery. It is probably rule number one for the late-night cat burglar. Keep yourself awake. In Oslo, Norway, police say the 42-year-old burglar was found sound asleep in a stolen car. The booty of his hard night's work breaking into people's homes stacked up there in the back seat for them. On Wall Street, recapping a nasty day, the Dow was down 387 points, the NASDAQ lost 56. This is CBS News.
Oh, will you love me when I turn six?
Of course I will love you when you're six.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers six standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
Would you buy property where wildfires rage? Now might be a good time to make a deal.
Becky Kyle is a real estate agent. Probably not the best business to be in when an aggressive wildfire is just a few miles from your office. Kyle says business has slowed but hasn't stopped.
We're still
still getting phone calls about real estate in the Sealy Lake area. I think people understand that the whole thing hasn't burned down by any means.
And while the highway through town is closed, which puts a damper on the tourist season, all is not lost.
With 500 extra firefighters, that keeps the restaurants and the grocery station and the gas station going.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
Remember the pork store in New Jersey? The owner of Satriale's on The Sopranos is selling the white stones of its facade for $25 to $50 each, 2,000 of them. Manny Costiera has even gotten angry phone calls and emails from fans wanting to know why is he demolishing Tony's hangout. Because Tony doesn't come around much anymore. And the new condo building is going to be called The Soprano. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Hi, I'm a craving. You're familiar with my work. Everything's hunky-dory, and wham, you got a craving only a Subway sandwich can satisfy. Like wham, a Subway melt loaded with melty cheese, bacon, ham, and turkey. And there's wham, the meat-nificent chicken and bacon ranch, and the tasty tuna sub. And all I can say is you can run, but you cannot hide.
When a craving hits, only a mouth-watering Subway sub will do.
Wham! Gotcha!
Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. And to all of the listeners on Peter B. Collins' network of radio stations, and that includes, I was going to say Kentucky, wishful thinking, huh? Let's expand that network. I like this thing. Portland, Coos Bay, Eureka, California, and the Monterey Peninsula, my old stomping grounds. I'm absolutely delighted. Okay. So we're going to talk about a lot of things today, including this woman who had 17 children. Thoughts, anyone? Yes, we will. And I'm not complimentary. And just before we get to our first interview, we're going to be talking to Faiz Shakir from the Center for American Progress in just a moment. Before we do that, let me just say this, because apparently AT&T censored some lyrics, some Pearl Jam anti-Bush lyrics in a concert the other day. This is a concert in New York, Lollapalooza Festival. Oh, no, it was in Chicago. I'm sorry. The story's out of New York, Billboard. But the concert was in Chicago. The band segued into a portion of Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, during which the frontman for Pearl Jam sang the following lyrics. George Bush, leave this world alone, and George Bush, find yourself another home. Those lyrics were missing from the broadcast. So we just want to make sure, in case that somebody didn't hear those words because AT&T censored those particular words, let's just say them again and make sure they get heard. George Bush, find yourself another home. George Bush, leave this world alone. Mr. Vader also railed against oil giant BP during the set, later brought a disabled Iraq war veteran on stage to call for an end of the conflict. Those segments weren't edited. Neither of those segments were edited. But the part about George Bush getting out of the White House, leave this world alone, go find yourself another home, like in Paraguay. In a statement, AT&T attributed the bleeping to, it's a mistake by a webcast vendor that was contrary to our policy. We have policies in place with respect to editing excessive profanity, but AT&T does not censor performances. We very much regret that this happened in the first place. I don't believe him. Why would you censor just two lines, the only two lines about George Bush? It was an accident. We just picked those two. Sure. Okay, so just in case you didn't hear it, let me say again, courtesy of Pearl Jam, George Bush, leave this world alone, and George Bush, find yourself another home, okay? Just in case you missed the lyrics, there they are. All right, by golly. Let's go to the Center for American Progress right now. Hi there, Faiz Shakir, you are on the live line with us. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks for having me on.
Okay, now, the budget, is that the big focus in the progress report today, Bush's budget games?
Yeah, that's the focus today. It's something that President Bush is trying to make the issue, and so we're trying to point out the hypocrisy of President Bush trying to now talk about fiscal restraint.
It's a little late, isn't it, George?
Yeah, exactly. It's been 6 years, and the administration has, you know, worked up a wonderful surplus or a wonderful deficit for future generations, and now is in the process of trying to hamstring Congress from enacting its agenda to help regular working class people.
And he's saying that the Democrats are responsible, that in fact the effect of this will be, if the Democrats get their way, that American families, small businesses, et cetera, will face a massive tax hike if the Democrats get their way.
Yeah, it's the tried and true conservative line, right? They fear, they scare people not only in the war context, they scare people in the economic context that if you vote for Democrats, they're going to hike up your taxes, you're going to be drowning in mortgage debt and bankruptcy. So that's their line that they've been using for a long time. What we point out today is that, a lot of the domestic cuts that President Bush has been enacting and pushing for have consequences. You know, in fact, the bridge collapse in Minnesota is a good example of that. That when you don't fund certain domestic priorities, you can expect that there are going to be practical consequences for that. And in this case, we saw at least one vivid example.
Well, but I mean, come on. The president went there. Laura Bush went there. They looked concerned. What more do you want? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate the president's concern, but the president's concern would have been better had he been funding domestic priorities. I'm not saying that we could have prevented this tragedy because we don't know. I think that, however, what we do know is he has been underfunding infrastructure improvements for years. It's something they just don't believe in. They don't believe in the functions of government. They don't believe that the government should
Do anything.
It should exist, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and then, of course, what happens is all those things that government is responsible for, like highways, are becoming decrepit, and they need improvement.
Well, not only does this country not make anything anymore, but we no longer have an infrastructure to count on or to rely on.
Yeah, and it obviously goes beyond infrastructure. It goes to things like health care. I mean, he's talking about cuts for Medicare and Medicaid. He's talking about cuts for renewable energy. He's talking about cuts for, you know, National Institutes of Health and medical research. All these things have practical consequences. And of course, as we mentioned, the conservative line on all this is they don't deserve funding largely because they don't believe government should be existing for these purposes. And there's a fundamental philosophical difference there.
So the president can speak switchgrass out of one side of his mouth, but in fact, out of the other side of the mouth, he is cutting funds, well, wants to cut funds for energy research, et cetera.
Yeah, I like this line that Steny Hoyer had today. It says, receiving a lecture on fiscal responsibility from President Bush is a little bit like getting a lecture on the Freedom of Information Act from the vice president.
That's right. It's rich. And yet we see moments like that, Steny Hoyer saying that. But the Democrats have not been performing up to people's expectations recently as well. We certainly need to point that out. They seem to lack a backbone.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that, particularly on the FISA bill. And there's been a number of cases where they haven't stood up for what they believe, of course, are the whole Iraq debate. It's frustrating because we know where the Democrats' heart and mind and soul is, but they don't. When it comes to fighting for those things, they don't have the gumption.
That's right. You can't just have your heart, mind, and soul, because if you don't have the guts to enact that, I mean, presumably, life's short. None of us gets out of here alive. By the time you get to Congress, you're usually, you know, a senior citizen or close to it. You'd think at that point they would go all out for what their hearts and minds supposedly believe. And, of course, you know the political calculus. They figure that most of us, even if we say we're disgusted with them and they're do-nothing and this and that, and what are they there for, they know that when push comes to shove in the general election, the presidential election in 2008, that the same people who are upset with the Democrats are going to vote for whomever the Democratic nominee is going to be. At least they presume that. And that's probably a correct presumption. At the same time, you have kind of an interesting phenomenon. I know it's occurred in my life. I've been a Democrat all of my adult life, a very activist Democrat, campaigned for Gary Hart, was asked to run for Congress from my district in Santa Barbara at the time, entertained the idea very seriously, was approached by Congressman Waxman, et cetera, at that time, a very exciting time, decided not to do it. But I found myself a year and a half ago re-registering as a declined to state voter because I got sick of any of the parties, either of them, taking the voters and the people of this country for granted.
There is a lot of voter apathy, isn't there? I mean, it just seems to me that the Democrats have a lot of work to do, and particularly in 08, if they want to reclaim kind of the 60-vote majority in the Senate and also a larger differential in the House, they're going to have to show that they're going to fight if they get those vote margins. And I think there's a lot of hesitancy by the Democratic base, and it's unfortunate because after 8 years of President Bush, there isn't really
anything,
much else
right?
to really be to excite you and motivate you to move in a different direction. And unfortunately, we're not making the sale.
No, and I think that you may think, well, they just have to be very cautious now because they just want to get elected and they can't do anything to rock that boat. But the problem is, it's like power corrupting. Once you are into that sort of triangulation mode and appeasing all these different things and not really standing for anything, I mean, you've got to stand for something at some point. If you never do that and then presume that people will think, well, we know what their hearts and minds are, and then once they're in power, they'll do that. The problem is when you're used to playing that other game, it's very hard to let that other game go because you kind of you're able to get a little bit of everything you want as opposed to really risking it all for a principle.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that once Hillary Clinton gets elected, and I think she's the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party at this point, I mean, all the party higher-ups have already made that decision, to hell with what the people might think, but that's always the way it is, that if she becomes president, I'm to be assured that somehow all of a sudden she'll come out of this cocoon of being very careful what she says and, not really standing for all that much, having on her campaign staff a union buster, et cetera, that all of a sudden, once she becomes president, she'll discard all of the sort of ambiguity and become strongly one thing and represent something. I think people don't really believe that. I think once you're in that mode, it's very hard to come out of that shell and become a champion, for example, for true health care reform, single payer, universal health care. I don't see that happening with Hillary Clinton or pretty much any of the Democrats except Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, it seems that the one thing that really that President Bush has inspired in all of us is that we really desire a leader who is authentic and who tells the truth. And that those seem to be the qualities that if you can convey to the public, they're going to love it. But unfortunately, too many of our leaders right now have a difficulty in trying to demonstrate that they're authentic and they're willing to tell the truth regardless of what the political impact may be. So I think as we go forward, I think whoever ends up winning the nomination hopefully will be that person who ends up winning the trust of the people.
Because it would be nice. I mean, how many elections has it been, presidential elections, of all the last ones I can think of over the last 20 years or so, where you've really had a sense that you were actually voting for someone instead of picking the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, exactly. We've had too many of those elections where you're voting not for the other person. In fact, I think even most of the people who voted for President Bush last time were saying, I'm just too afraid of John Kerry,
right.
Because they did a good job of vilifying John Kerry. And so, yeah, you're right. It's the dynamic that exists on both sides. When are we going to get to the point where we actually
feel
very proud?
Can you stay with us a bit longer?
Sure.
Good. Stay on the line. We will be right back. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. We're also delighted to be filling in for my colleague Peter B. Collins and his network of radio stations, which include Portland, Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, coming into California now, Eureka, right there, and the Monterey Peninsula. We're delighted to be talking to folks from the Monterey Peninsula as well. Our phone number, toll-free, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240, from anywhere. We'll be right back.
And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Fair time again, and this year we're homegrown at the Monterey County Fair. We're talking six big days of family-packed entertainment from Tuesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 19th. Stop by every day for free headline entertainment including the Paul Thorne Band, War, Pam Tillis, Night Ranger, plus our homegrown band showcase featuring top local bands. Your entire family will love the free exhibits including the Busy Bee Dogs and Hugo the One Man Band. You will love the Beer and Wine Pavilion featuring homegrown beers and wines, all this and much, much more just for $8. If you're you're an adult, admission for 6 to 12-year-olds is only $4, and kids under 6 get in for free. Kids' Day is Tuesday, Seniors' Day is Wednesday, and Military Appreciation Day is Thursday. From August 14th through August 19th, the fun will be at the 2007 Monterey Fair. Don't miss it. For information and to buy tickets, go online at www.montereycountyfair.com or call the fair office at 831-372-1000. That's 831-372-1000 for the homegrown Monterey County Fair.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Only Progressive Talk Station 1240 Talk City KSAC.
And you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. We're talking to Faz Shakir. I called you Faiz before. That's not very nice, was it? Hey, Faz.
Yes.
It's Faz, right?
Yeah, it's Faz.
And I
like
called
that.
You Faiz instead, like I was making it really, really dramatic. But I'm sorry. I apologize. We're talking to Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. And, okay, so you've got the budget talks. What else do we have going on here? We talked about how domestic cuts certainly do have consequences, that's for sure. And this funny thing from Steny Hoyer about receiving a lecture on fiscal responsibility from President Bush is a little bit like getting a lecture on the Freedom of Information Act from the vice president. That's very good. I like that line. Yes, I do. And you mentioned in our discussion something about there are Democrats now who are mea culpa-ing and say, oh, we should have voted no on the FISA bill. You think it was because their vacation, the vacation was just around the
leadership to pass the alternative bill, which is the one that Democrats had wanted to pass, which would have been a more limited authority.
Mm-hmm.
He said that we should have passed that bill and forced the Senate to come back into session and to take on the weaker version. And so I think what ended up happening is the Senate passed what the White House wanted and put the House in a box where they couldn't pass anything else. And so what Sestak was saying is, well, we should have just done what we thought was right and then forced the Senate to come back and change it.
Sestak for vice president.
There you go. There you go. I mean, he's an intelligent and very sharp, and I thought, you know, very impassioned about this. And I imagine that he was having some very stern discussions with Speaker Pelosi and others about not caving in, but at least he voted the right way in the end.
The progress report has some interesting things about the Iraq war, too, and I'm noting one of them. Some comments about what they said then and what they say now. And you've got a little take with John McCain, presidential candidate and senator, Republican senator for the state of Arizona. And I'm not sure. It was in March, actually, of 07, where he said, "We're going to win. We will never surrender," kind of echoing Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan, I'm paraphrasing now, said something to the effect of, "There's nothing Americans value more in peace. We will fight for it, but we will never surrender." Anyway, John McCain, trying to be Reagan-esque, "We're going to win, we will never surrender." That's in March. And now, in August, saying, "I'm not positive we can win this fight." What
yeah,
gives?
It didn't get a lot of attention, did it? I mean,
no.
He was out speaking in, I think it was in the Detroit area, in the Michigan area. The Detroit Free Press picked up on this and reported that he was waffling on Iraq because they said that while he was delivering a speech, he said, "I believe we're winning." But then he went on to say, "I'm not positive we can win this fight." So, undermining what John McCain has been arguing for years, which is increased troops in Iraq. We can win this fight. We will win this fight. We can never surrender. Of course, accusing all the critics of the war of being, you know, treasonous and not tough enough to stand up on this issue. And now here he is saying, "I don't think we can win this fight."
Has anybody called him on it other than Progress Report?
It's surprising. You know, generally the blogosphere reacts with rage to these kinds of things, particularly when McCain speaks. And we tried to stir it up a little bit, but I don't see it getting picked up that much.
Now, you do have in your little Think Fast segment of the Progress Report a thing about the New York Times reporting that President Bush's unpopularity is taking a toll on his father. Tell us about that.
That was an article in the New York Times today in the profiles George H.W. Bush talking about, I guess, advisors close to George H. Bush saying that he's pretty let down by his son's tenure, as you might imagine. And so,
yeah, I can't imagine why.
Yeah, I guess it wears on his heart, we're told. I think what the article suggests is that he's been dissatisfied with the performance of many of the administration's key aides and former aides like Donald Rumsfeld. So apparently President George H.W. Bush is struggling as he has to deal with the legacy of his son's tenure.
Now, he always wanted Jeb. You know they did.
That's right.
And there's
That's
a buzz right. out there. I've had people say, you know, in the last minute here, it's not going to be Fred Thompson. He's the stalking horse. It's going to be Jeb Bush.
Well, do you remember when George H.W. Bush went down to Florida and delivered a speech right when Jeb Bush was resigning?
Yes, and boo-hoo-hooed.
Yeah, he cried. He literally cried his eyes out, and I thought that was a remarkable moment because,
yes.
it was almost an acknowledgement that, you know, this is the one who should be president
exactly.
right here.
So we'll have to see how all of that plays out. Thank you so much for being our guest today. I really
sure,
enjoyed
thank you.
Talking to you.
Okay.
All right. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. If you're listening to us in Sacramento, it's 766-1240. If you are listening to one of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations, and that would be Portland, Coos Bay, Eureka, and the Monterey Peninsula, the phone number is 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. If you'd like to send me an email, let me just first give you our website here in Sacramento, www.1240talkcity.com. And my webpage is there. My email, christine@1240talkcity.com. We'll be right back.
Three little birds sat on my window, and they told me I don't need to fly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Shipping all our money.
yeah, let's do that, she said. Catch my breath. Address. Downstairs. Welcome back, everybody. Yes, did I mention that we are physically in an old sort of Victorian, would you call it Victorian? Yeah, building here in Old Sacramento. That is rumored to be an old body house. That's the rumor. Are we sure about that? That's the rumor. That's the buzz. And it's, of course, very clean and lovely now. There's a long flight of stairs to go down and do that. So welcome back. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. We had a very funny phone call just a minute ago from someone on the Monterey Peninsula. And they thought it was incorrect to say. Okay, my friend in the Monterey Peninsula, well, the exact physical location of the station to which you're referring may not indeed. Hey, guess who hears us on the station in Monterey? People on the Monterey Peninsula, you boob. All right? So, lived down there for many years, love it down there, have very close friends in there. Hi, Flipper! So there. For those of you listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, he will be back Monday. And we're trying to get in touch with, catch my breath, Jacqueline Cabasso. She's executive director of the Western States Legal Foundation and contributor to the just-released book, Nuclear Disorder or Cooperative Security, U.S. Weapons of Terror. But we can't reach her. So we keep, she's in New York at the UN. So we will continue to try to do that. We're having a little connection issue with that. So let's talk about something else, shall we, for a minute? Okay, still catching. That is a very long flight of stairs in this old body house, okay? I'll tell you what, Jason, would you do me a favor? Go to the Google Calendar. Oh, you are? Okay, thank you. My producer. We're sharing a little off-the-air thoughts here with you all. Okay, I want to talk about this. It's nothing to do with politics at all. So it's a little diversion for a moment, shall we? Did you see this story about the Arkansas couple who had... They've had now 17 children. The mother has been literally pregnant for 10 years of her life. Okay, how old is the mother? It doesn't say. I mean, she's just too old. I don't know how old she is now. Anyway, they have 17 precious little house apes, precious little rugrats, precious little darlings. They have 10 boys and 7 girls. And the mother, who, you know, first of all, is all the humping, 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 humping. All right, keep humping. 17, so humping and then, you know, breeding, brooding, and having another. 17 kids. Less than 30 minutes after giving birth, Michelle Duger said, "Oh, I want more kids." She says, "The girls are outnumbered 7 to 10 in the family. We just love the ruffles in lace." Now, you do understand that having all these kids, that we have an overpopulation problem in the country, that the quality of our infrastructure, which sucks, particularly because of the current government, but it just is terrible. I don't know about the roads in Oregon, but can I speak for California openly? I can certainly speak for the Sacramento area or that drive I take at least once a week to San Francisco. Highway 80, horrible. You'll be going along, all of a sudden, the pavement drops about 3 inches, and there's this big patch, and then it goes up again, and it's, you know, 65 miles per hour. It's horrible. California infrastructure, you know, the boob and grabber, the governor of California, the boob and grabber, you know what I'm talking about, he can say, "Oh, yes, we must have the infrastructure," but it's still the same. Nothing's changed, okay? So our infrastructure is crumbling. Every bridge that crumbles, the massive amount of people in the world make all of that worse. Affects the quality of the air, affects global warming, not in a positive way, but in a negative way. Now, I'm not suggesting that there be laws that you can only have, you know, you can reproduce yourself, or if you're, you know, you're married, you and your husband, maybe 2 kids, and kind of control it. But I would like your thoughts on this, all right? Don't you think having 17 is just a tad too many, perhaps? So, she's a breeding machine, wants more babies. So, and what should it be? Should it just be sort of, instead of saying, "Oh, isn't it wonderful," and having all the little TV anchors, "Oh, I wonder what they're going to use for car seats," giggle, 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 giggle. It's not funny. It's not amusing. And instead of saying, oh, isn't it great? Go back to humping. Make some more. Did I mention they all have first names beginning with J? I'm going to barf. All right. The phone number is 877-766-1240. And, oh, we've made contact with Jacqueline. Oh, good. Let's go to Jacqueline Cabasso right now. She's director of the Western States Legal Foundation. Hi, Jacqueline. You're at the UN today, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm actually across the street at from the UN in the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza.
I know it well.
Yeah, at a really wonderful event celebrating initiatives for a nuclear-free world in remembrance of the 62nd anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing of Nagasaki today.
Yes, and my lecture agents are in the building right next to the UN, Royce Carlton and Associates, right there. So I've been there many times. When I was there as a little girl when I was just 12, and that was a long time ago.
Right.
And when I visited the UN as a child, I'm 62 now, so that was 50 years ago, and I said to the guide at the United Nations, where do you keep your bomb shelter? And they looked at me like, what on earth for? Well, there is a what on earth for, certainly, now as there was then. But tell me about this ceremony and the efforts of people to stop nuclear proliferation.
Right. Well, unfortunately, the very real current dangers posed by nuclear weapons, and in large part posed to the world by U.S. nuclear weapons policy, are pretty much off the public's radar screen since the end of the Cold War.
Yes.
But at the same time, there is, I think, a kind of a subterranean anti-nuclear renaissance going on in a way, because this is today, what's happening here today is one of well over 80 commemorations, demonstrations, protests, film screenings, and so on around the... Whoa.
I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know what that is.
It's probably AT&T trying to jam your call. I mean, you know,
I hope
anyway.
Not. Anyway, these are happening in at least 25 states around the country and all over the world by people who are working very hard to keep alive not only the memory in a nostalgic way, but the reality of what a nuclear weapon is and the kinds of damage that it can
do.
Bring. And there are 27,000 nuclear weapons in the world. All but 1,000 of those in the U.S. arsenal and the Russian arsenal. The U.S. is developing new nuclear weapons, has a constantly evolving policy of counter-proliferation, where it's expanding the potential role of nuclear weapons, the potential use of nuclear weapons, has about 1,700 of its nuclear weapons on hair trigger alert aboard Trident submarines patrolling the world's oceans and in missile silos in Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska, and has 400 nuclear weapons deployed at 8 bases in 6 NATO countries. It's the only nuclear weapon state with nuclear weapons on foreign territory. And I could go on, but the point is that this is a present problem, a present danger, and at these demonstrations around the country, and here today, for example, we have a Hibakusha, a survivor of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, who... Mm-hmm. told his very compelling story, and then he said that, and the numbers are not contested, over 200,000 people were killed by those first two atomic bombs, which are very small and crude by today's standards. And he said if you lined up the victims side by side, not end to end, they would stretch from 60 miles from the heart of Manhattan to the Indian Point nuclear power plant along the Hudson River. And that's kind of yet another way of trying to...
Visualize it.
And also, harder to visualize, people are still suffering today from the effects of those first two bombs, from the radiation that was released, from radiation-induced illnesses, and from still unknown genetic effects to the second and third generations of the survivors.
But do you have any hopes that the United States will disarm itself with its nuclear weapons,
or
Israel, or Pakistan, India, whatever? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, it is only going to happen if the people of the United States and in concert with the people of the world insist that it happens. And one of the first steps to that happening is people have to know. They have to inform themselves. They have to know what not only the things that I just ran down, but they have to know that the United States is obligated under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty to negotiate the elimination of nuclear weapons in good faith. And that's been true since 1970 when the treaty entered into force. We don't hear about that very often.
No.
And we have to look at the broader context. And we have a special responsibility as Americans. Our country is spending more on its military now than every other country in the world combined. And if that is certainly,
you know, I frankly, I'm a military brat. I should tell you, I'm a Navy brat. I'm a military brat, and I certainly supporting the military and making sure it has the right armaments in a very dangerous world. The problem with much of the military budget now is that it's not going to actually help soldiers in the field. The decisions made about where they're sent is totally screwed up. So I'm not so sure it's a matter of simple budgeting. It is a dangerous world. The United States does have enemies, legitimate and not so legitimate. But the problem is that we're told support the troops, and yet we can't supply them with the proper gear, that you see immense war profiteering and military contractors or independent contractors and mercenary armies getting a big slice of that pie, and I think that's wrong as well.
Well, that's certainly true, but we also, the money's important, though, for a couple of reasons. In addition, first of all, the United States is investing in new generations of all kinds of high-tech weaponry in pursuit of something called a prompt global strike capability, with the desired endpoint being the ability to strike any target on Earth in 30 minutes or less with any kind of a warhead, whether it be nuclear or conventional. Now, that can't be a good thing.
No,
many countries of the world.
No.
And the other thing is the very definition of security that is hammered into our heads on a daily basis, that our national security somehow is being protected by this unbridled military might backed up by the threatened first use of nuclear weapons as its central element.
And the first time there is a terrorist inspired, because the technology is pretty easy in this country, that is a nuclear attack on this country in one or two or three places at once, any dream of disarming the world will end. But I certainly support your efforts, Jacqueline. I wish it was something everybody could get and we could all live peacefully. Thank you so much for the call. The cell connection isn't too great, but we hope to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, Talk City, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. Our phone number, 877-766-1240.
To change the world, start with one step. However small, first step is...
Well, I'm going to the beach where...
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet our own Indiana Jones, Glenn Plantone. He travels the world to find the best investment properties. Glenn is president of National New Builds and will be discussing some very hot investment opportunities in the great state of Tennessee. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. All this and more Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli,
with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I am...
The show on KRXA 540.
Welcome back. Yeah, I got to say this. If you're listening to me on one of Peter B. stations, I'm not a pacifist at all. And I appreciate that nuclear weapons are terrible and awful, but I don't like this idea that, oh, let's make sure that the U.S. gets rid of all of theirs. It's a very dangerous world. Yeah, the war we're in now is misguided and wrong and creating more enemies for us all. I want to stop it, absolutely. But I think we do have, it is a dangerous world with true enemies. And to completely disarm it, first of all, it's not going to happen. You can have every peace demonstration you want in the world, and you're not going to disarm the United States or the world. I mean, that's simply not going to happen, not in my lifetime or yours or your children's. And, yes, wouldn't it be lovely if there were no such weapons, et cetera, but it isn't going to happen. And it's a nice sentiment, plus the cell connection wasn't that good. So I appreciate it. But it's not my favorite topic. In any event, let's talk about the woman with the 17 children. Let me just mention that again. Arkansas couple welcoming their 17th child. Wah! Jim Bob. You knew his name would be Jim Bob, right? Jim Bob and Michelle Duger. Is it Jim Bob? Yeah, Jim Bob. Hey, Jim Bob, I'm in the bedroom. Let's hump again and make another baby. 17 children. And less than 30 minutes after spreading her legs wide to give birth to yet another. Another one popped out, 17 of them. This was, she's had Joshua, John, David, Jana, Jill, Jessa, Ginger, with a J, Joseph, Josiah, Joanna, Jedidah, Jeremiah, Jason, James, Justin, Jackson, Johanna, and now Jennifer. It makes me gag. I mean, don't they know by being so damned fertile that they are creating nasty impacts on the rest of the world? Every little breath one of their precious little darlings takes adds to impacts on the environment. I mean, isn't there something about less is more? Remember Mies van der Rohe, the famous architect, less is more? And what kind of attention could you give to Jennifer, Joshua, John, David, Jana et al., huh? Dear goodness. And after she had the 17th one, she said, oh, I just can't wait to get back in there and start making more, you know. And she has been engorged and with child for 10 years of her life. What's your take on this? Am I just too mean about this and just too, you know, I just think a family of that many people, even more than just reproducing yourselves, like two people, two children, et cetera, has huge impacts on the world. It's not kind to the world, and it's not kind to all those children, because the world they're going to inherit is going to be stinkier, smellier, with more carcinogenic agents, and with a more of a crumbling infrastructure. How about a little modesty here? How about a little use? You know, it's the human beings, more highly evolved form of life than the primates, right? Because they can make some important decisions about what's good for the planet, what's good for the quality of time you can give to each child. This woman's got 17 little slaves, you know. And the TV anchors, oh, Biff, did you see that? 17 babies. I wonder how many baby seats their car must have. Giggle, giggle, giggle. Oh, Biff, you funny man. So, your thoughts? Let's go to Paulette. She's online, too. Hey, Paulette. 17 kids, anyone?
Hi, Christine. Not my cup of tea. I'm sorry.
No.
but I'm pro-choice, and I apply a litmus test. Did someone force her to get pregnant, and is someone going to force her to become pregnant again? And if it's her own choice, then I personally while it's not my cup of tea,
yeah,
thinks she has every right to have
as many kids as
she wants.
She certainly has every right, every constitutional right, that's true. But don't we also have every right to say, you know, madam, that's really overdoing
it. Well, the thing is, they're not on welfare. My understanding is they're not on welfare. They're not getting food stamps. They're not expecting the government to pay for the kids. And I certainly wouldn't want to give the government any, you know, control over her reproductive life, one way or the other.
Absolutely, and I agree with you completely on that. However, we do have the right also to look upon that and not say, oh, isn't it wonderful? But rather, think of the effects, think of how much time each one of those children can get from the parent in terms of parental attention.
They're not
very much.
The younger kids are being raised by the older kids.
Exactly.
They even admitted it.
That's my
theory, is that these older kids are going to say, to heck with this. If you think I'm having more than one or two kids,
I think
the next generation will be a lot smarter.
Yes, and here's an example. They have gone through 90,000 diapers. Each one of those diapers in a landfill filled with you-know-what. Thank you, Paulette.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. 877-766-1240. Let's go to Sam in Santa Cruz, line 3. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Jane.
Yeah.
Hi, Christine. This is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the nuclear issue.
Sure.
And
you want to be sure to say nuclear, not nuclear, because if you said nuclear, you'd be kind of like George Bush.
Oh, okay.
Nuclear, N-U-C-L-E-A-R.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Nevada, at the Western Shoshone Nation in Mercury, Nevada, they still explode nuclear bombs underneath the ground there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go there, if you could see the ground area, they have some of the ground falls in, and some of them have the tombs that come up like little vents.
Mm-hmm.
And when they signed that treaty back in, I guess, in the 70s, like you people were talking about, it had a certain clause there, a little small print, said that it could still explode a certain megaton.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists that made this little megaton into more powerful explosion. That's why they keep blowing it up over there. The Western Shoshone Nation over there, Native Americans, are that's their land there, and they've been having a vigil there for, I guess, the last 20 years.
But you know, the Shoshone have gotten back at the white men, haven't they?
Well, it's the land, you know.
Have you ever heard of casinos? I want to thank you very much for the call, but hello. Okay, I know I'm being very contrary today, aren't I? Do we have time for Jim on line 4? Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Okay. I think it's time to change our policy. Instead of tax breaks for every kid you have.
Yes, that's right, baby. Go for it.
After one or two, or let's say two. I mean, that's
two.
Neutral.
Reproduce
after
yourself.
Two,
okay.
After two, it's tax penalties.
Disincentives. Tax disincentives for.
We have too many people,
yes.
And our religions and our government are encouraging more, and we got to stop it.
So for those with overproductive loins who just can't stop humping and making babies, tax disincentives. And I imagine people would take that very seriously. Yes, because there are impacts on the infrastructure, the quality of air, global warming. Every little human mouth, every little human pair of lungs adds to that dilemma. At the same time, we're not doing much to stem the tide of all of those effects brought about, much of it brought about by human habitation. So absolutely, tax disincentives. I'm in favor. I'm going to run for president. That'll be my big platform. Thanks for the...
Good.
I'll go nowhere. Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
All right. We're out of time for this hour. When we come back, we're going to talk to Scott Dick down in Carmel Valley. He always has many interesting things to say on Peter B's show, and he was with us last week, and he's got lots to talk about, including some changes in Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and some thoughts about American women in the U.S. military. That's coming up next. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B's stations, and that would include... Portland, Coos Bay, and yes, the Monterey Peninsula, you twit, and Eureka as well, all right? Yeah, I know. I know all about it, okay? So stay with us. We'll be back after the news.
Three little birds.
Ocean's 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium in the American Tin Cannery. Ocean's 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Ocean's 18 opens at 12. Stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Another plunge for the stock market.
Nobody knows how long it's going to last and how bad it's going to get.
Waiting for news at the mine in Utah.
The people that's in there very well possibly be in some little cavity or some little corner.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Wall Street took another wild swing today. Tight credit and widening problems in the mortgage market sent the Dow into a 387-point dive, a loss of nearly 3%. It was the same for the broader market. The S&P 500 dropped 44 points. Market analyst Hugh Johnson says the big problem right now is uncertainty.
We know that lending is changing. We know that credit conditions are changing. How much is the impact of those changes going to be on the U.S. economy?
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus has been gauging sentiment.
All the traders I spoke to say they are just strapping themselves in for more volatility at least through the end of the summer, simply because the problems we're seeing in the credit and housing markets are not magically going to go away in 24 or 48 hours.
The market was shaken today when a French bank froze three funds that invested in U.S. subprime mortgages. The European Central Bank pumped $130 billion into the banking system, seeming to confirm the seriousness of the credit crunch. Now this.
Our next exercise, transporting baby. Lug stroller down flight of stairs. Knees bent, lift up, and step, and step. Give dirty looks to people who don't help. Good. Only 20 more to go. And 19, and 18. Pick up ball and squeaky toy. 18, 18, 18, 18.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR and select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Officials at the Crandall Canyon mine believe they're very close to reaching those six trapped men. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick is there.
The wait has been agonizing for this mining community and the relatives of those missing.
Whenever you go in the mine, you don't know if you're ever going to come out or not. You pray that you do. Your families pray the same thing.
Now with a huge drill boring closer to where the miners may be trapped, we may soon learn if they're still alive. First down the 2.5-inch hole, a two-way communications device.
It emits a beeping sound. Once they hear and locate that device, they'll be able to communicate with us.
Murray Energy's Rob Moore says oxygen and water can be delivered, crucial to keeping them alive until they can be rescued by miners, clearing debris to get to them underground, and still days away. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, outside the Crandall Canyon mine.
In Minneapolis today,
local and federal divers have recovered two victims this afternoon at the scene of the 35W bridge collapse.
That makes seven confirmed dead, six still missing in the murky Mississippi. Federal investigators continue to examine the wreckage for clues as to what went wrong. Bruce McLadry of the National Transportation Safety Board suggests the 35W span simply buckled under the weight of heavy traffic.
It's a 40-year-old bridge. It was designed with certain assumptions in mind as to what loads it was intended to carry.
State officials hope to have a replacement bridge open by the end of next year. President Bush, at a news conference this morning, rejected calls for a gasoline tax hike to fund bridge repairs and replacements. He said Congress should work with the funds already available.
My suggestion would be that they revisit the process by which they spend gasoline money in the first place.
On Iraq, he prodded officials in Baghdad to do more.
They have made some progress, but not enough.
The president said he wants to get the facts from Prime Minister Maliki about his visit to Tehran and his seemingly warm relations with President Ahmadinejad. Mr. Bush will spend a long weekend at his parents' summer home in Kennebunkport, Maine. There's a family wedding. He'll meet Saturday with the new French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, who's vacationing nearby in New Hampshire. Dave was among the spectators outside an auto parts store in DeKalb, Illinois, to watch a monster truck demonstration this afternoon.
They had a couple cars out that they were crushing with a monster truck, and evidently the last time they crushed one, it seems like the accelerator stuck.
The truck took off, plowing into a group of people and through a fence before it came to a halt on railroad tracks. Officials say 9 people were hurt, 2 seriously. The demonstration was part of a monster truck tour sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Oh, will you love me when I turn 6?
Of course I will love you when you're 6.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
Too early for presidential politics.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. So when you all come to Sacramento, you want to turn to 1240 for your progressive news and your local Sacramento activism, because we're not just a radio station. We do a lot of interesting and colorful and artful political demonstrations and events as well. And we have all kinds of people coming through this town because it's the capital of California. You may ask, why would they put the capital of California in a place where it is over 100 degrees almost every day for 6 months? That's a bit of overstatement. We're only like 80 today or 70. This is really cool. I don't know why, but we've been very lucky so far this summer. Pretty soon it'll be 117, and we'll say remember when. Anyway, we're going to go down to the Carmel Valley right now, shall we? And Scott Dick, who is on with Peter B. every week and was on with us last week. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Miss Feisty.
That's me. And you are a military expert and observer. And what's on your agenda this week? Something about women in the military? What could that be?
Well, let me, before I get to that, just want to make a comment that historically the reason that capitals in Sacramento is $1 million worth of bribes from the guys that were building the railroads.
There you go, baby. That's it. Why it had to be something.
That's why it's there. It was nothing. And then they said, hey, how about $1 million? And they moved it.
Exactly.
And the other comment I wanted to make was the woman in Arkansas with 17 kids.
Yeah.
That is a reinforced infantry squad.
I swear to God, there you got the whole troop right there.
It's a full light infantry squad with either an attached machine gun team or an attached sniper team, and then one supervisor to boot.
Yes, and there are more men in this family, so there'd be 10 men, 7 women, and it's a nice ratio. And everybody with a first name beginning with J, line up. Yes, sir.
Do you think? I wonder if they have a sock drawer a sock box, one for boys and one for girls.
You think?
Do you think that any of their sons will volunteer for military service?
Well, I don't know, perhaps. But then we have someone whose sons certainly haven't volunteered for military service, and yet, boy, does their daddy support the war and supports the surge and the war on terror. Would you be thinking perhaps about Mr. Romney?
Nah. Can you spell?
Yep. I think he's a chicken. Now, come on out. Mitt wanted to go to... Oh, that's... I was trying to... It's another duck call I have here. It's not really a chicken sound. But he wanted to serve during the Vietnam War. He did, Scott. But, well, it was this pesky Mormon mission deal. I think he went to Argentina or someplace and really wanted to serve his country and likes to stand next to a big, huge American flag, red, white, and blue, biggest flag you've ever seen. But when push came to shove, he made sure he didn't get his butt in harm's way, didn't he?
Yeah, and I love the quote that says that the way that his sons now are showing their dedication to the nation is by supporting the president.
And it's an important job to go around in a Winnebago. Some lady made that comment. She said, yeah, right, like they're really serving the country, going around in some Winnebago, posh, all poshed out and campaigning for dad. It's an important job when you're helping your father become the nominee of the Republican Party, which is, of course, full of chicken hawks when you really think about it.
Absolutely.
Not just Dick Cheney with the 5 deferments and George Bush with the mysterious disappearance from the Texas Air National Guard.
But Cheney could have used the military service and taught him how to shoot a firearm.
Yeah, see, because they don't teach you a basic training. You know, you got to learn that stuff. It's not as easy as it looks, as he was to discover later in life.
You know, and what the other question about John McCain, I don't want to get too silly, but mm-hmm. he's got a 19-year-old Marine son who had orders to go. Now, here's the quote. Had orders to go to Iraq this summer. Doesn't say that he actually went to Iraq.
Yeah,
my concerns and sentiment with him, if he did go, if he didn't go, I wonder who pulled the string.
I think so. And, of course, McCain, I was just talking with a Center for American Progress, a guest about that. McCain, of course, has been saying, we will win, we will not surrender, we win, we must win, we will win. And now he's saying, I'm not sure if we can win. So
well, the other question I want to ask you, Ms. Feisty, is what's he doing with a 19-year-old son? Isn't he like 95 years old?
Yeah, who is the... Well, now, the wife is much, much considerably younger, and I know his wife had a big drug problem for a while. I knew they had adopted, his wife is quite lovely, I knew they had adopted a child, I think, from Bangladesh, but I wasn't aware that the fruit of their loins included a 19-year-old. I don't know.
Yeah, this is all, you know, that's being silly, but I can't help it. I saw that and I thought, wait, he's 900 years old and he's got a 19-year-old son?
Can I ask you about something else before we get to the women in the military?
Oh, please do.
There is an amazing story. Amazing. It says the Homeland Security Department, if you've seen this, maybe just popping this on you out of the blue, but, oh, that's even better. Homeland Security Department is aiming to arm federal agents and police with a new lightsaber-type weapon that emits a dazzling strobe capable of subduing criminals, terrorists, and even unruly airline passengers, and maybe political protesters, too. It is an LED incapacitator. It's reminiscent of Star Wars lightsabers. It shoots a temporarily blinding light beam rather than slicing through people. Oh, that's good. It's non-lethal. The light can be used to make a bad guy turn away or shut his eyes, giving authorities enough time to tackle the suspect, apply the cuffs, all while sparing the lives of passersby, hostages, or airline passengers. I wonder if they'll give these things to Blackwater, do you think? I think so. The program manager says that Homeland Security has invested over $1 million for testing of the new light-emitting diode incapacitator being developed by a Torrance, California company called Intelligent Optical Systems. It's going to be tested. Oh, we could go volunteer. On volunteers at Pennsylvania State University's Institute of Non-Lethal Defense Technologies this very fall. If all goes well, soon it'll be in the hands of hundreds of thousands of policemen, border agents, and National Guard. Device works by temporarily blinding and disorienting a person. And once aimed at someone's eyes, a series of light pulses and colors can be triggered, and the subject's eyes can adjust quickly enough to see. It sends you into a spasm of vomiting. So, I think they're going to use. Do you think they would use something like this developed for military uses on protesters? Do you think that would happen?
They'll rub pepper spray in a protester's eyes underneath his eyelid. I'm pretty sure they'll use this device. But once again, it's a technological solution to what is basically a people problem.
Exactly, and it has an alternative name. This lightsaber weapon is also called the puke ray.
Well, you know, they've been working on those puke sprays and puke rays and puke shooters and vibrators and sound things now for about 60 years. And the poor police officers, you know, they carry so much junk now.
I mean, line up. You can imagine the early morning session of police departments all over the United States. Line up. We've got new weaponry for you. It's the puke ray. Add this to your belt.
We didn't like them beating suspects with a billy club, so we gave them stun guns, and then we gave them tasers,
which killed people.
Which people, you know, and it's now we're going to give them this light emitting. I really like LEDs; they're really efficient.
Sure,
they'll last forever. But It just seems so far-fetched.
And do you think, you don't think that some of the very people that we would try to stop with the lightsaber might actually end up acquiring a few of them, do you?
No, that never happened, no. Christine. What are you talking about?
I don't know where that came from.
Just, you know, it's like the Iraqi army. I was doing a little research, and one of the things that the Odierno, he's one of those generals in Iraq, and he was
right.
saying that rogue militia units, rogue fighters are behind 75% of the attacks.
Now, that's right.
And where do they get their weapons?
That maybe it's the 200,000 small arms that are missing, that we issued to the Iraqi army that are missing.
Now, where did we put those weapons?
Yeah. Yeah, I had an NCO once who used to say, well, if they're up your butts, or you know where they were.
Exactly.
So this is incredible that he actually believes that we will believe this, that somehow we're making so much progress. Now we're down to the rogues. So first we had, what did we have first? It's changed so, the enemy has, in Iraq has changed so much. First it was the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Saddam Hussein. Then we caught him and killed him. First mm-hmm. it was his sons. We killed them. We killed, mm-hmm. then we helped Saddam Hussein get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the what? It was the Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the insurgents. And then it was the Shia militia. Then it was the Sunni militia. Then it was, you know. And now it's the
Iranians.
Now it's the Iranians. We say nothing about the Saudi Arabians.
Who are funding and arming the Sunni.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So no wonder
everybody's confused over there. They can't even figure out at the Department of Defense who the enemy is.
And he throws out all these numbers that are pretty interesting. He blames the rogue groups for 73% of the attacks. Why not 74? Why not 72.5? How do they get these numbers?
Exactly. Well, we know where they come from.
Up from the 38%. We still have elements of JAM. That's what they call this. It's an offshoot of the Mahdi army. And it's interesting that, you know, what we're doing is bait and switch. And we've been doing bait and switch or low ball conflict since the very beginning. This is, we're going to do regime change because he's got his single nuclear weapons. Then it was something else. Then it was something else. Then now it's like September. What are you talking about? And of course, Petraeus came out and said, "Oh, it's going to be years." And the new guy that they're going to approve for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is a thinker, be nice to have a thinker in charge of the Joint
Chiefs. That's a good idea.
he said we're going to be there for years. So before now, this is early August. They started this in July. They really lowered expectations, and they continue to lower expectations. So when we get to September and Petraeus says, well, you know, we're not going to leave anytime soon, then the American people, we can say, yeah, we've been hearing that for, this is no shocker. And Snow's going to come out and say, Gonzalez did nothing wrong. Oh, wait, I'm channeling somebody else.
That's right.
He's going to say, they knew exactly what they're doing, this is what's going to happen, and we knew this from the beginning.
Do you ever wonder, because Tony Snow is dying, he does have terminal bowel cancer by all reports, and it's certainly very difficult. Do you ever think that someone in that position, because people who know him personally say he's a really neat guy, et cetera, personally outside of that role, do you ever think he has this moment where he decides just to stop lying and do something good for his country by saying, these people are just full of it?
Yeah, I'm sure he has those mirror moments every morning when he shaves, just like Scott McClellan had. And I'm, you know, in 10 or 15 years when McClellan's book comes out, it's going to confirm everything that everybody said, but we were all doom and gloom about the Bush administration. This guy's not going to be rehabilitated.
I've got a little surprise for you when we come back. Can you stay with us a bit longer?
Absolutely.
It's about the U.S. turning U-2 spy planes on itself. And I'll tell you all about that, I'm sure.
Since we're going to the Cold War, there's plenty to talk about.
Just hold everything.
Got it.
We're going to take a break. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. I'm Christine Kraft. Our phone number, 877-766-1240. We'll finish off with Scott Dick after this.
To change the world, start with one step. However small.
It's fair time again, and this year we're homegrown at the Monterey County Fair. We're talking 6 big days of family-packed entertainment from Tuesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 19th. Stop by every day for free headline entertainment, including the Paul Thorne Band, War, Pam Tillis, Night Ranger, plus our homegrown band showcase featuring top local bands. Your entire family will love the free exhibits, including the Busy Bee Dogs and Hugo the One Man Band. You will love the Beer and Wine Pavilion featuring homegrown beers and wines, all this and much, much more, just for $8. If
you're an adult, admission for 6 to 12-year-olds is only $4, and kids under 6 get in for free. Kids' Day is Tuesday, Seniors' Day is Wednesday, and Military Appreciation Day is Thursday. From August 14th through August 19th, the fun will be at the 2007 Monterey Fair. Don't miss it. For information and to buy tickets, go online at www.montereycountyfair.com or call the fair office at 831-372-1000. That's 831-372-1000 for the homegrown Monterey County Fair.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
And hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest, starting off with a problem in Wellhouse Cruise right over to Monterey. We have a southbound Holman Avenue, Highway 68 at Skyline Force. It's an accident on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this particular crash. Monterey, or excuse me, let's talk about another problem. Let's see. We had one in Santa Cruz. It's cleared up. We have a little road work southbound one at Morrissey. The off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day for road work. The one of the two off-ramps to the southbound freeway is also closed. All northbound ramps remain open, along with Fairmont Avenue to southbound Highway 1. And the support brought to you by 1-800-DONATE-HERITAGE for the blind. It's call 1-800-DONATE-CARS and help support Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, fast, free pickup.
And you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and all of Peter B's great stations, including down in the Monterey, or on the Monterey Peninsula. Let's be free. Let's talk to Scott, who's down there. Hey, Scott Dick, how are you? We're back.
I'm here.
All right. This is a story. Where did I get this? I got this at Ross Story News. In a striking but unnoticed extension of domestic surveillance, the little-known National Geospatial Intelligence Agency deployed a U-2 spy plane. And see, a lot of people live today don't know what a U-2 plane is. Spy plane on the region affected by Hurricane Katrina in 2005 to track hazards to public health. In a full Salon article, Tim Shorrock explores the emergence of the NGA, born in 1996 from a partnership between the CIA, the Pentagon, the agency that maintains America's spy satellites. Single seat, only one seat in that baby. High altitude, originally designed for CIA spy missions, perhaps remembered, as we all remember those of us old enough, for the 1960 mission where a plane was shot down over the Soviet Union, key element of the U.S. arsenal in collecting intelligence overseas, now being used in this country. Ominous, or does it just make sense to track hazards to public health?
Well, here I have to diverge from the masses. The when they did, they publicly signaled several years ago that they're converting several U-2s over for civilian research.
Okay.
They track weather. They do some other great things.
And that's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't really bother me that much. What bothers me is the Russians have started their Cold War bomber sorties again.
Yes, they have.
And not only that, but the Chinese, as part of this whole ganging up on America because we're often our own worst enemies, the Chinese, I don't know if you read, Christine, but this should worry people. The Chinese are threatening to dump dollars. And they have trillions. And if they did that, this would be bad.
Very bad for our economy. Some have suggested that we should just stop buying Chinese stuff. But if you try to do that, it's virtually impossible.
They have us by the you-know-what.
They do.
Already the euro against the dollar, in other words, it's gone as high as 138, 139, $1.39 to get 1 euro. Now, if they were to dump that currency on the economy and they do it in massive amounts, who's going to buy it?
Well, here's the other side of that, though. Would it be in their best interest to do that because this is such a great marketplace for their products?
Well, this is chicken. We're playing chicken, high-stakes chicken.
I know.
It's just like the Russians. You know, we poked them enough. One of the first things that Bush did before 9-1-1 was to abrogate the ABM. And for folks, if you don't know what the ABM, that was a treaty we signed a long time ago that prohibited anti-ballistic missiles. And the first thing we did was unilaterally tear that treaty up and say, guess what? We're going to build some more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Russians, and then we want to put the radars and the
missile defense shield near them.
In the Czech and in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do you want to slap this boy's face before he says, you know, I can take some of these insults, but, you know, he has a very important domestic powder keg he sits on every day.
That's right. But you know, when he first was named, I kept saying, who's Putin? And people say, well, you shouldn't say that on the radio. But
that's that producer you have.
Who's Putin? Anyway, no. But, you know, since then, remember when Bush said he's looked into Putin's eyes and he's seen his soul and all that. And here's a man I know, my friend, Mr. Who's Putin. So,
but this is the administration whose Department of Homeland Security says in his gut, he's got a hurricane gut detector.
That's right.
So, you know, he's looked into a lot of people's eyes and declared them to be fit for, you know, human consumption.
Exactly. Now, the Pentagon, let's talk about something very serious here. The Pentagon, some at the Pentagon are starting to mollify their stance on don't ask, don't tell. And what really suggests that we're going to also talk about women in the military, too, but really suggests that it's time to drop that policy. Because there are many, you know, gay Americans who want to serve their country, who have computer skills, language skills that are desperately needed. Do you think that policy is going to drop, or does it take a Democratic administration for that to happen?
Well, that's a good one, and there's a lot of reasons why they need to reach out to anybody that is fit and willing to wear a uniform and has more than four brain cells that will vibrate together.
Well, you know, and even the FBI said the other day they're now going to take pot smokers as FBI agents.
Right. And the question, we've always had gays in the military. The estimates have always been 10% since Valley Forge on. I don't care what anybody says. If they've been in active duty military, they've served alongside
gay soldiers, male and female. Of course.
So it's ridiculous. I mean, there's a general came out a couple years, maybe 10 years ago now, and it's ridiculous on the surface. But you have those high-powered interest groups, like the Center for Military Readiness, who has, it's a unilateral organization, a one-issue organization that would like to get women out of the military, and they also are against any policy that degrades the U.S. military. But that's just a euphemism for gays in the military.
And then you also have at the same time this big, this expose of, what was it, the seven military, including four generals who are on this videotape proselytizing onward Christian soldiers. That
yes.
Also.
And they will not be punished.
No, of course, and say, oh, they said punishment is due. Punishment. They will be reprimanded, or they'll, you know, have something torn off their uniform. It's always very dramatic. Rip. So, but you know, nothing's going to really happen.
No, they're going to tell them not to do that again. And you know, every one of those guys, if you're a general officer, there's a general officer charm school.
Yeah.
That's where you learn that if you cheat on a travel voucher, or if you use aircraft or vehicles for your personal use,
yeah.
They always claim, just like General Jowen did when he got popped for a false $9,000 travel voucher, that I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Those guys, they know exactly what the rules are. They're told.
And I do, too. The rules are, we're out of time. Will you stay with us a bit longer? Yes. Say yes. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. And when you're out there, without care,
yeah, I was out of time. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Office Depot. Trust Office Depot for everything your business needs. Office Depot, taking care of business. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood. We used to say, never put off till tomorrow what can be done today. But more and more in this country, people seem to be saying, never get done today what you can't put off until tomorrow. Ours is a society of procrastinators. Our country, a procrastination. I want to talk to you about that and swear I will get around to it after I tell you about Office Depot. Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. You'll never pay too much because Office Depot guarantees their low prices. Plus, Office Depot will give you 5% back in credits to your child's school for all your qualifying school purchases. That's 5% teachers can use for classroom supplies. So not only will you find everything you need at guaranteed low prices, you'll also help your local school. Office Depot, taking care of business and back to school. See the store for details. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland. Don't be surprised. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. There is, according to a 30-page report in the Psychological Bulletin put out by the American Psychological Association, an epidemic of procrastination in this country. Something has to be done about procrastination, says industrial psychologist Piers Steele. He should talk. This study was supposed to have been ready over 5 years ago. But he says that here in the United States, procrastination is on the rise and costing us money and making us fatter and unhappier. He says the American gross domestic product would probably rise by $50 billion if email could be eliminated. Yes, it's a convenience, but it's also a monumental time waster, along with video games and other diversions. It's not that we don't worry about the things we're putting off. Psychologist William Knaus says we worry ourselves sick thinking about what we're not doing instead of just doing it. People will spend hours putting off 5 minutes of work. Delay in filing taxes costs the average American $400 a year. Last-minute Christmas shopping with credit cards in 1999 was 5 times higher than in 1991. The reports always seem to use some year like 1999 as the most recent one because the authors never get around to bringing it up to date. So stop procrastinating. Stop it now, or maybe after the weekend, Monday at the latest, or maybe a week from Monday. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' 3 generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Cause, that's it.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Scott Dick is with us. He's an analyst of things military, former member of the military. You still with us? Hey, Scott.
I am indeed.
Good. All right. So you're not concerned about the U-2 planes being used because they're being used for good purposes, et cetera,
I'd rather see them used than cut up.
Absolutely. And what was this? Didn't they just destroy a bunch of, was it F-14s or something?
F-14s and B-52s. We've been part
of the
Strategic Nuclear Initiative to the START talks. The START Treaty. We've been, we cut up the B-52s and then the Russian satellites.
It was a great band. Remember Rock Lobster? Oh, no, that's a different thing.
Different B-52.
That's right.
They're not being cut up in Tucson, everybody. Really, trust me.
Oh, good. Now, we were talking about gays in the military and that there is a movement afoot at the Pentagon to, say enough of this. This is
They're not blazing any trails here. There's a lot of people. The percentages accepting gays in the military is very high. It has to do with youth mostly. Most young people up to about the age of 30 don't give a damn, frankly.
Christine. That's true. They really don't.
So then you have just the old, tired, you get your religious right, you have your religious right in uniform, and that is a problem. We've seen this evangelistical resurgence in the military. That will be a problem if they approve that. Now, when those guys leave service, then they have a better chance of at least thriving instead of being discriminated against. It's a very strange tale, but, our demographics are screwed up. I'll give you a good example. In Germany, they do not have enough men to serve in the military, period, and they have a draft. So they start drafting women, and that's really not what they wanted to do. And the Germans aren't replacing themselves, and that's an issue because the pyramid of
low birth rate.
Exactly.
Then maybe they need to learn something from these people in Arkansas with the 17 kids, huh?
So what's happening is immigrants are reproducing, and that scares them. And we have kind of the same, we could have the same thing going on here. We want volunteers, so we're paying them $20,000, $30,000,
$40,000
to enlist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what is the quality of the soldiers that we're getting? And then we're giving them, weapons and sending them to Iran.
Little training.
Iraq.
A little Freudian slip there soon.
Right. And then they come home and we kick them out on the street.
Exactly.
This is going to be a price we're going to be paying for a long time. And I just wanted to say, along with the Cold War going on, we got a thing, the Canadians just claimed the North Pole and the Russians just claimed the
North
Pole.
And the Russians, both of them.
Right.
That's right.
And this is not a joke, folks. This is just, it's a kind of big foreign policy sidebar, but we don't, you never know where this kind of stuff can go.
Exactly.
So, I trust the Canadians. We'll just see. We're keeping our hands out of it so far, and that's probably
right.
A good
thing. And it's probably a good thing. And instead of saying, no, it's our North Pole, and,
Yeah, and so we'll play
Putin's North Pole pole. And
we'll play the Russians against the Canadians and make the Canadians furious at us, and then we'll have just one more enemy of a used-to-be-a-friend. So the other thing about women in the military, the Center for Military Readiness has really been pressuring Congress since the Bush's election to undo the social experimentation of the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that all in quotation marks. Way big goals gained for women in the military. They reduced a lot of the glass ceilings. I personally worked for a commander, a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
She was a fire breather. People hated her because she was a woman and she was a fire breather. If she was a man, she would have been a great commander.
Yeah.
They ended up finally firing her. And she didn't do anything that I've never seen a man do. So those have been slowly eliminated and reduced, and the Center for Military Readiness, which isn't.
And then I understand that Mitt Romney also has some daughters, and they're all no, never mind.
none of these people, none of these chicken hawk families are going to, they're making their livelihood off the American infrastructure, and they don't want anything to do with it if it actually involves sacrifice or work. I spent 20 years in uniform, twice enlisted as a machine gunner in the Marine Corps and as a young private in the Army, and then was commissioned. So nobody can tell me that I enlisted twice when it wasn't popular to be in the military, and there were no incentives
Thank you.
To go in. So these guys that are getting 20, 40, 30, how deep are we scraping the bottom of the barrel?
We are scraping the bottom of the barrel, and also in the sense that if you look at, take the historical perspective in terms of world history over centuries, et cetera, look at the fall of the Roman Empire. one of the most significant indicia that it was in deep troubles when they had to start hiring mercenaries.
Right, because, you know, anybody could rehire them or counterhire them, and then there was no stability. And the thing about...
And no loyalty and no dedication to a cause or whatever.
Absolutely. The thing about women is, without the influx of men, this has been like this since 1976, we need women. About 50% of the military is women. And what's interesting is, to get into officer candidate school, male has to have 110 GT score. A woman then had to have 115.
Right.
And they're still doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's and
a lot of people don't realize, for example, I remember one of my colleagues who's since deceased, actually died just recently on KGO in San Francisco. He poo-pooed the idea. He said, I said to him, well, you know, he didn't like the idea so much of women in the military, and, you know, because he was a pilot, I guess, and, you know, they wouldn't be flying bombing runs. Hello? Yes, they are and have been for some time.
Well, if they could fly the taxi missions back and forth across the country, then, you know, combat is, it's a perception. And a woman, a young woman, just was nominated. In fact, I think she was won the Silver Star for her actions as a military policewoman, and she was engaged in trench warfare. This is 2006 or early 2007 now, not 1897.
Well, that trench mouth is very difficult to get rid of, and I don't see any reason why a woman couldn't do it as well as a man.
Trench warfare?
No, I thought trench mouth.
That's what I thought. I was like, Miss Feisty, hello.
Sorry.
No, and so the Silver Star, that's an amazing feat, and you really,
yes.
One of these years we'll stop referring to, you know, the whether they're male or female, it'll be a soldier or sailor,
yes,
or marine.
Yes, and perhaps maybe if we get a woman president here, not that I'm a huge Hillary fan, I think that she's very smart, and I think she is the nominee that the party has decided to support, and my guess is she will be the nominee. And I think I'm a longtime feminist. I battled for equality in the broadcast industry. I'm delighted to see a woman running. But do you realize, Scott, at the same time we have a woman who may become president of the United States, has a very, very good shot at it, we still have groups like the Bohemian Grove just up the road here, that have their annual encampment, men only, world leaders, important decision makers, getting together for their powwow, wearing dresses, et cetera, peeing on trees. And you still could not have the Secretary of State of the United States, or presumably when Hillary Clinton becomes president, couldn't attend because, well, you know, those matters that they discuss, the doings-on of big business and corporate America, et cetera, are too indelicate for a woman's very sensitive ears.
Well, my apologies to our gay and lesbian community, but how gay is that?
How gay is that, right?
I mean, really. You know, it's like general officer retreats. You know, they basically spend a lot of time talking about what they should have done last time they were doing whatever they were doing, and not a lot gets done. It really depends on the general that's in charge. This issue of women in combat and gays in the military and sons that won't serve or daughters that won't serve, like mm-hmm. the Bush daughters,
yes,
won't serve, is affecting our nation's national security.
It's affecting our national security. It's affecting the national psyche as well. And it is really, really a very, very bad thing. Can we talk about the Commander-in-Chief for just a moment?
Sure.
This is George Bush. I'm looking at him. He has a slight paunch. I never noticed that before. But he's, well, you know, he's a man of that age, what, in his 60s. And it was disclosed about the president's physical health. He was treated for Lyme disease just a year ago. Apparently, when the president goes out on his bicycle and he rides right past Walter Reed, just never goes inside, picked up a bunch of tick bites and actually had a case of early localized Lyme disease, a characteristic bullseye rash on the president of the United States. Did you hear about this?
I did, and I'm just trying to put it together about how...
How would they know?
I'm not sure that one of the symptoms is acute stubbornness.
I think so. It says symptoms can include lethargy, joint pain, fever, limping, and loss of appetite. Let's see. Oh, anyway, the president experienced a rash and didn't get the other symptoms. I guess there's not much more to say about that. But, you know, I thought he had a Secret Service to tell. You think they'd be keeping the ticks off of him, don't you?
Well, yeah, I know. There's so many things that's broken in this administration. I'm not surprised he has Lyme disease, and probably has Lyme disease from too many margaritas as well.
Exactly, to a margarita with the lime and everything. Now, here's one other story that plays into discussions of all things military as it affects the United States. It's being said And where was this first printed? I'm sorry. It was in Salon, Sidney Blumenthal, saying that Colin Powell is the White House's ticking time bomb. And here's a quote from Sidney Blumenthal's article in Salon. He was Petraeus before Petraeus, the good soldier before the good soldier, window dressing before window dressing. The White House aide's fear of Powell reflects their guilt, if not their stricken consciences, over his disposal. Powell was used, ruined, and tossed overboard. His warnings were ignored, his loyalty was abused, and when he no longer served Bush's purposes, he was unceremoniously discarded. And of course, the date of his February 5th, 2003, the date of the infamous United Nations presentation will live in mendacity, for every statement he made was later revealed to be false. Do you think Powell knew what he was saying in front of the UN was false? I do.
Well, coming from a guy who wrote the memo that covered up my lie, or actually justified my lie.
Yes.
Or cleansed, whatever you call it, sanitized my lie. I'm not really surprised, but they had to have really fed him a crock. I mean, the guy's basically honorable, and mm-hmm. he may have had the, we don't really know, you want to take this risk, General? You know? And he may have been fed a line. And we know that this administration, when they want to ignore intelligence, they do, and when they need it, they make it up.
Exactly.
You know, before we go to the break, I would just want to, or maybe it's too late, but I want to talk about the MRAP, because, you know, that's a story.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the MRAP. This is the vehicle with the V-shaped hull, which is has been promised to our soldiers in Iraq and has not as yet been provided. They're supposedly building them, and as fast as they can build them, they become obsolete or whatever. But they still have the Humvee with the flat bottom, which is, you kind of guaranteed it's going to blow you to smithereens if you hit an IED.
Well, you know, yes. All of that, except that the MRAP is, it's an open, as far as I'm concerned, the mainstream media has really dropped the ball on this. This is an open wound, and Gates' emphasis on getting these vehicles to the troops just demonstrates the memorandum sent in 2004 that those vehicles were effective and they were needed, and those memorandums were systematically ignored by the Department of Defense, headed by our friend Donald Rumsfeld. And it should be a continuing embarrassment, such that Bush sent a memo to Pelosi saying, hey, we really need this $5.4 billion for these vehicles. And they're mm-hmm. asking for a bunch of money to fly those to Iraq. So they got nothing except junk for 3 years. And mm-hmm. now they want to fly them to the tune of $135,000 a piece, because they couldn't get their stuff together to send them over by ship, which only costs $18,000 a piece. So,
what negligence, huh? What an incompetent administration.
And who got fired? Nobody got fired.
That's right.
And it got brushed under the rug by saying, no, we didn't know, blah, blah, hama, hama, hama. There's some more words that we would add if we were not on the mic. And so now nobody's gotten fired. Gates has really, much to his credit, has said, I didn't know about this. And let's do it, and let's get a move on. It is the number one priority for him.
Scott?
Yes.
Break time. Okay. Coming back. Stay with us. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM. Talk City and all of Peter B's stations. Our toll-free number, 877-766-1240.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
And let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest. Start off with a problem being reported. It was on northbound 17 before the Cats Restaurant. It was a stalled vehicle. It was blocking lane. Looks like they pushed it out of the roadway. So pretty much good news there, which we always like to report. And then we want to take a look at a problem being reported in Castroville. Highway 1 northbound at Moss Landing, an accident. Two vehicles, they are off to the right shoulder. Ben Lohman, activity on Highway 9 at Alba. It's a fender bender there. It's off to the right shoulder as well. And two cars involved in this accident. And I mentioned the fact that CHP is now on scene there. Santa Cruz, northbound 17 at Emmeline, the off-ramp shut down there for, of course, the until the end of summer of 2008. The support brought to you by Luxor Las Vegas. Your Las Vegas getaway begins by visiting LuxorLox.com. Unforgettable dates.
The world started with one step.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. A little heads up, the defense team has arrived, and we'll be talking to them at 5 o'clock in a few minutes here in the notorious, the doctor, Dr. Molly Fry and her husband, Dale Schaefer, who have been so compassionate as to prescribe marijuana for their patients. They're being tried in federal court. It is a... But some very interesting developments in that case today. We'll be talking to them at 5 in a few minutes here. It's very exciting. Let's go back to Scott, who is in Carmel and Environs. Hey, Scott, I got to ask you about something else.
Go ahead.
This is a Dateline, San Francisco, Associated Press, citing her son as inspiration to Tearful Cindy Sheehan. Tearful announced her candidacy Thursday for the House of Representatives, anti-war activist, running as an independent against Nancy Pelosi. Running as an independent, that's the interesting part here. She says the country is ripe for change. See, I don't think, I don't know. I think this may affect things. I don't think any Republican is ever going to win a House seat out of San Francisco. But Cindy Sheehan announcing her intentions to run for Congress. She says that, her son, of course, died in Iraq. And she's announced her intention to run against Pelosi if the speaker didn't move to impeach. Today she said Nancy Pelosi has protected the status quo of the corporate elite, has lost the faith of much of her district, many of whom, she says, won American troops out of Iraq. I think that's a pretty good guess. A spokesman for Nancy Pelosi said the speaker has always opposed the war in Iraq and wants to bring the troops home safely and soon. But, of course, the unspoken thing, just unwilling to say, as the leader of the House, that, the House has appropriations power. Just to say no to any more appropriations won't do that. So do you think that this will have any real effect on Nancy Pelosi's chances of getting reelected?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of base Cindy Sheehan has. I mean, she has an emotional base that says, her son was killed. And the thing about Casey, he was a mechanic. And he went out on a rescue mission. And what was the kid, a mechanic, going on a combat rescue mission? This is a kind of
he
idiocy.
Signed up to be a chaplain, That was, he ended up as a mechanic. And, yeah, exactly.
He's a chaplain's assistant and then
right.
A mechanic. And this is the kind of idiocy that we have going on. She's got a big cross to bear. And, this kind of demonstration politics is good for an incumbent once in a while. I'm not sure anything's going to happen, but there are people that are support her and Ms. Sheehan, I wish her luck. She's going to get ground up by the Democratic machine.
And she has no money, of course. Daniel Ellsberg, who's been a guest on this program and always a very interesting one, the former high-level Pentagon analyst who in 1969 leaked the Pentagon Papers. He came out today in support for Cindy. Of course, he has been arrested recently a couple of times for anti-war protesting. He said, at the moment, facing a well-funded, powerful incumbent without party support, the odds against Cindy are very, very difficult, but we plan to change that. I'm not sure there's much that they can do, but it certainly will bring some attention to that congressional race.
Yeah, and that's as it should be. I mean, the idea that these...
Yeah.
I mean, Ted Stevens is an excellent example, and he's fallen off the media map, by the way.
This means after the FBI raid, we didn't hear anything else.
Been in Congress, in the Senate since 1948? Are Alaskans stupid?
Did you say 1948?
Yes.
Did you say 1948?
Yes. He's the longest-serving senator in U.S. history.
Well, you see, and then you got to kind of get used to the perks of power if you've been in there since 1948.
It's a drug that makes people crazy.
Doesn't it make them all crazy, though? I mean, are there any of them who stay uncrazy?
Well, after that amount of time, what is that, going on 60 years?
Yeah.
And the guy's untouchable. And, yeah. You know, people in Alaska are scratching their heads thinking, well, everybody makes out when you got somebody like that. No, mm-hmm. Only he makes out.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wouldn't have touched him, except we have a Democratic majority now.
That's
right. He
was right.
Fine. He was inviolate while the Republicans had the Congress.
Quick little thought here I want to ask you about. We still have some folks with some connections to Jack Abramoff, the FBI raided probably famously for our area here in Sacramento, just up the hill, the home of John Doolittle, member of Congress, and his charming wife, Julie, who took $60,000 from Jack Abramoff to put on a party that never happened. And so they're investigating him. We understand that Mr. Abramoff is in the federal prison, and they have a special room set aside just for Jack, Jack's room, they call it. And he is there cooperating with the FBI and is supposedly spilling his guts. Do you think that these investigations with this Department of Justice in charge will ever come to fruition?
No.
Nor do I.
You know, it's this is... people hold up the Grant administration as the most corrupt in history, and that really is a result of revisionist Southern historians
yeah.
in the 20s. But the guy stood by his friends, but he was honest. And when he was confronted with the facts about people in his administration, he fired them. And he was a brilliant general and a crappy manager,
mm-hmm.
but he did his job. And now we have this combination of Hoover, Nixon, and Andrew Johnson
mm-hmm.
running the country now. And historians out there, I dare you to contradict me on this.
Well, you know, but there are people, we talked about this earlier, or actually with another guest, about how George Bush the Elder is, you know, quite upset about his son's performance, and they wanted Jeb in there initially to be the candidate.
Right, and how this affects military and veterans, we've seen the lack of funding over the years for veterans. We've seen the shoddy conditions, the 200,000 or 600,000 backlog of claims of disparities between state to state and what vets get after they come
back. But things must be much better now since the Washington Post came out with that big expose about Walter Reed. Things are all improved there, right? Because the president promised, he went over there on his tricycle, and said, I'm going to make things better.
Yeah, and they painted over the mold, and they closed the building, and, you know, it's just, they just shuffle. I can't tell you how many times I've been involved in these Potemkin-like
yes.
issues. We had the Secretary of Defense come and visit us in our little base in Germany, and we painted single walls. We walked the route with the boss.
and just the route he would see, in other words.
Exactly, and we looked at it from all angles. We calculated exactly how we would do it to make sure this base is presented as a modern, clean, efficient thing. We were we renovated the recreation center because it hadn't been renovated in 20 years, and they got special funding only because he was coming.
Well, now, you know, there's a big battle over the House of Representatives, the gymnasium that is used by members. And one member of Congress, one of the women who's a swimmer, didn't want to have to go through a big parking lot. It was too tedious for her to take that path. And so now there's this budget item up to spend many millions of dollars to revamp the House gymnasium. But unfortunately, we won't be able to talk to you about that because we're out of time.
Well, just I'm thinking moving sidewalks, or people will come out and carry her to the
exactly,
gym. Which is
yes.
defeats the whole purpose of going to the gym anyway, you stupid person. Not
yes.
you, Christine, but you know what I mean.
Yes, Scott. Thank you so much for being our guest again. We'll have you on in the future, I hope.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Miss Feisty.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, folks, you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations in Portland, Coos Bay, Oregon, Eureka, California, and the Monterey Peninsula, my old stomping grounds. Our toll-free number is 877-766-1240. And in the continuing saga of Dr. Molly Fry and her husband, attorney Dale Schaefer, on trial for just about everything, for their very lives right now here in Sacramento in federal court, some very interesting updates today direct from the courtroom to you. Stay tuned.
Planet Challenge.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to your solar future Saturdays at high noon. Go to yoursolarfuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to yoursolarfuture.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We had a very nasty day in the market.
Al Goldman of A.G. Edwards watched the Dow plunge 387 points, losing nearly 3% of its value. The market's worried about the credit crunch and the mortgage mess. That was reflected very clearly today, as CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace reports.
Home improvement leader Home Depot was the biggest Dow loser of the day, falling over 5%, its worst loss in a year.
What you're seeing happening in the housing market, the downturn in the housing market, you're seeing that have an impact on consumers and their household purchases.
Furniture sales from May to June are down, their lowest level since February 2003.
The S&P 500 also fell about 3% today. The NASDAQ wasn't quite as bad, but it still lost 56 points. At 13,270, the Dow is 730 points below its record close on July 19th. In Huntington, Utah, word from the mine could come any time now.
It's pretty stressful for any family to be experiencing what these families are going through right now.
Arch Allred speaks from personal knowledge. His cousin Kerry is one of the six men trapped inside the Crandall Canyon mine. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick is there and reports that days of drilling might soon pay off.
One drill was expected to be near the miners at around this time, but officials warned earlier equipment issues could delay that. And even if the drill is just inches off its mark, that would force them to start all over again. If this drill is in the right spot, rescuers hope to send a communications device down to the miners to determine if they're still alive.
Grim progress in Minneapolis today. Two bodies were recovered from the wreckage of the 35W bridge. That leaves six people still missing. Bruce McGladrey is an official of the National Transportation Safety Board.
I've been told that the divers will be able to finish their tasks soon. At least the areas that they can get to without removal of bridge parts.
As for the investigation, the cause has not been determined, but McGladrey says the 40-year-old bridge was designed to carry certain loads, suggesting the traffic in recent years exceeded the limits. At least nine people were injured this afternoon in DeKalb, Illinois, when a monster truck went out of control and plowed into a group of spectators. They'd gathered outside an auto parts store to watch a demonstration. Cindy Sheehan quit being the face of the anti-war movement some months ago, but now she's in the political arena. KCBS Radio's Janice Wright reports from San Francisco.
Sheehan, who camped out at the Bush Ranch to protest the war, is officially setting up a campaign camp now.
And I never thought that my path would lead me here today.
To the military backdrop of the Presidio, announcing she's running for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's 8th District Congressional seat because Pelosi, she says, hasn't delivered the change her constituents voted for.
A great majority of citizens in the 8th District want the Bush regime impeached and want our troops home from the Middle East.
Sheehan's 24-year-old son Casey was killed in Iraq. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway?
Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
At his news conference today, President Bush said the Iraqi government has made some progress, but not enough. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has details of another assessment delivered today.
Yet another Washington think tank expert, after a visit to Iraq, tells of U.S. military victories in this year's surge, but
we really have problems, even in defining success.
Anthony Cordesman at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
That said, there is a case for strategic patience, and it is particularly strong if the central government can move forward.
But he says Iraqi politicians are not showing any talent at compromise needed to reach the benchmark set by the U.S. Congress.
When they saw their unborn son on ultrasound, a New Zealand couple realized he was for real and decided that's what his name would be, For Real. The government rejected that, saying names can't have numbers in them. So now Pat and Sheena Watson have submitted Superman. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Our next exercise, transporting baby. Lug stroller down flight of stairs. Knees bent, lift up, and step, give dirty looks to people who don't help. Good. Only 20 more to go. And 19 and 18. Pick up ball and squeaky toy. 18, 18, 18, 18.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and we're going to welcome your calls. I have been following, and it makes me so crazy because the mainstream media, if it's a case involving, I don't know, Paris Hilton and a DUI, oh, my God, all the mainstream media is going to be there because our important rights are at stake, right? No? Oh, that's right, they're not. It's just a celebrity, so you got to have hordes of media reporters waiting for every single thing, jotting down every little bit of testimony, interviewing every witness outside the courtroom. Michael Jackson, tons of, thank you, Lawrence, lots of media attention for things that really don't have any huge impact on our rights. And here we have in Sacramento, I understand there was a B reporter there today, and I'm glad to hear about that finally. But we have this trial going on in federal district court right up the street from here. And I am having guests on every single day. Dr. Molly Fry is here. Hi,
hello.
Molly. Yes. And her husband, Dale Schaefer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And her lawyer, Lawrence Lichter, is here. Tony Sir, hi, Lawrence.
Good afternoon.
And an associate. Well, not part of this conversation, but your wife, who is also an attorney of some repute, and I'm delighted to meet Nedra Weiss. Hi, Nedra.
Hello.
Okay, so in trial today, let me just, before we tell you what happened in trial today, this is this marijuana trial. This is a physician who prescribes marijuana for her sick patients because it helps them in the charges that she and her husband manufactured. And I'm sitting there thinking about this last night. Talked to a friend on the telephone, who doesn't smoke marijuana, doesn't take, well, he drinks a little bit of Mickey's Wide Mouth every once in a while, but he's not a pot smoker, never has been. Not that he has any moral problem with it, he just doesn't do it. Okay, and we're talking about this case, and he said, who the heck, what gives the right to anyone in the world to tell any other human being that they cannot use a plant that grows out of the ground, if you believe in a deity provided by God, a little plant, it grows in the ground on its own, or it can be cultivated. It's a plant. Who in the world gives anyone the authority to tell a human being that they cannot take a plant given by God, if you think that way, and I know Molly does, a plant, a little plant that grows, sometimes a bigger plant, whatever, starts out as a little plant.
I had some big ones.
I know you did, Dale. But who on earth gives anyone, including the government of the United States, the federal government, the right to tell any human being that they don't have to have the right to use this plant, which can, when used medicinally, relieve the pain of arthritis, cut down on inflammation, help you if you have, as I do, and you know, I should be able to. I've got a father who's 91, right? His life's not too happy right now. If I were able to grow enough marijuana or get enough marijuana, not from criminal sources, but from legitimate ones, to keep my father happier. And my father's an arch conservative. My father said to me, my mother died of Alzheimer's disease. He said, if I had known that giving my mom, Christine Kraft, the elder, who's now in Santa Barbara in the cemetery, if I had known that giving her marijuana would have helped her be happier in the dementia that ended her life, my dad said, I would have moved buildings to do that. My father's an ace conservative, all right? If I should be able, without any fear, I should be able to grow enough marijuana to put it in every bit of my father's food, to take it and make
butter and oil and rubs and everything.
Yes. So
it slows down the formation of the amyloid plaques.
Yeah, the amyloid plaques, which cause
lengthens
yes.
the life of the person with Alzheimer's.
Right. I should be able to do that without any concern. You know, and I should be able to go to a good doctor like Molly, give Molly my father's medical record. She should be able to prescribe it. She should also be able to provide it,
well,
in my
yeah,
view.
Even more fundamental than that is in China, they take women and force abortions on them if they've already had one child. I mean, how close are we? If we're going to control what substances go into our bodies, then are they going to control what things they take out?
Well, I don't know, but I just had this, and I was talking, as I say, to this friend, Dave, who's listening, and he said, he just came out, just pure stream of consciousness, what gives any government the right to tell human beings that they can't take this plant, this little plant that grows, provided by, you know, God who created all things, if you believe that, and even if you don't, it's a plant that grows naturally. What right does government have any to tell anyone they can't use this for whatever purpose they want to? There are already laws on the books. If you are driving under the influence of a substance and you're impaired, then there are laws to you're driving under the influence. There are laws about that. I'm talking about people, maybe some elderly person who doesn't sleep well. Maybe if they had a little marijuana, either ate some or smoked it or whatever they did. What right does this government have to tell, or any government to tell, human beings you can't use that? There's just a fundamental problem here. Who gives them the right? By whose authority? And don't we as citizens have the right to say, no, that's wrong? We keep being told every single day by this president and others, they hate us for our freedoms. I'm telling you, we don't have any. If we can be told that we cannot use this little plant for medical purposes, or really any purposes I'd extend it out, but that's not what this trial's about.
We can't control our lives. We can't do anything.
No.
I mean, there are so many things.
It's this fundamental flaw there, and everyone goes, oh, well, you know, you can't question the government. Yes, you can. You can question authority. You can love your country and expect it to be the very best place and all of that, and still question it and have issues about these sorts of policies. And when you look at the history of marijuana in general, and you see the corporate interests who have worked very hard to make sure that people aren't allowed to grow this little plant and use it for themselves, because then they'd be less likely to buy pharmacological products, they would be less likely to buy maybe alcohol, a whole host of things. By whose right does the federal government tell us that this is something we can have no choice in the matter, especially when there is now peer-reviewed science that makes it very clear that there are perfectly legitimate medicinal uses, whether the federal government wants to acknowledge it or not? The same day all this is going on, just yesterday, we hear that the FBI will now admit to its ranks FBI agents who have, or indeed may continue to do, I don't know, smoke marijuana because they
I think they have to have been clean for 3 years.
3 years, is it?
But as I told you, the CIA
how would they know?
Gave that a long time ago.
Yeah,
because they wanted smart people.
They wanted smart people.
Couldn't find any smart people who had
Lawrence Lichter's here. Lawrence, interesting day in court.
Yeah, as always.
And the prosecution ended their case in chief, I understand. Kind of a surprise.
Yes, but they've been under pressure from the court to streamline their case and accelerate the evidence, as we all have.
Because now their witnesses, I understand, were a progression of snitches who ratted on Molly and Dale.
Snitches implies that they had something to say that was truthful.
Yes.
I mean, one guy had his own business running right out of Molly and Dale's house
that they were not aware of. Yeah.
Another guy was a business competitor who was looking at 5 to 40 years. And sort of traded his and had run away and had committed
a crime. So maybe the judge perceives, and I'm just guessing here because I'm not in the courtroom, but maybe the judge perceives that the jury hearing this endless procession of, you know, these individuals might be look less fondly upon the government case. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But then he had some government witnesses as well that were agents, drug agents, right?
Yes.
And what were they like?
Well, I'll let Dale explain.
Dale, tell us.
Well, one of them went to a seminar we put on and claimed that because he was in the room where they were cooking Rice Krispie Treats, he got stoned.
Does he get stoned frequently so he would know what being stoned
well,
was?
Well, he claimed he had no foundation to know, but he said he felt lightheaded after being in the room.
Couldn't drive a car.
Okay.
It was incredible. The first
and Rice Krispie Treats with marijuana in them for sick people so they could have the...
Absolutely. There was a cooking demonstration. The first officer up told the jury that he lied to us for a year and a half and ingratiated himself into our favor while he was setting us up to have us prosecuted.
He'd come over to the house and hang out. They would show him the marijuana plants. He'd comment on how
And you were aware that he was law enforcement?
We knew he was law enforcement. We invited him. We said, we are the good guys. We've got transcripts that Dale goes, I'm on the right side of the law. I want to catch the people who are doing this illegally, but we want to leave the sick and dying alone. And yet he, you know, gave us all this ingratiating talk, how great Dale was doing. He'd grown such great plants. He counted all the plants dutifully, made his reports.
Because there under the California law, there are limits as to how many you can have.
Within California law.
Always.
Have they been able to show, Lawrence, that they were not with, or they're not even basing it on the California law, though, are they? Or is that
the judges ruled that irrelevant for all
completely
purposes.
Completely irrelevant for all purposes.
Except for one.
Yes.
And that is that the Ninth Circuit protects doctors.
Can prescribe.
There's an injunction.
Yes.
That keeps the federal government from punishing or harassing or otherwise molesting doctors who merely recommend or in writing or verbally approve
and that's
use of marijuana, even if they know that they're going to be conspiring or aiding and abetting somebody else's
So they can't say I went too far, because what I did was I thought that my husband and I were two separate individuals. And so I said, okay, you know what? I, like a doctor, you know, Long's is down the street, or you can go to Safeway, or you can go to Oakland or wherever. I said, if you call this HHH, which was Home Health, Horticulture, and Research, we can find somebody who might have some extra pot for you. Mm-hmm. And we were selling it at one-tenth of the market value. And
when you say we, it was me, not you.
Of course it was you. But, you know, it's the problem. I've been married 22 years, and you sort of melt in the middle. Mm-hmm. But the truth was I thought it was horizontal advancement of my business, that I was the doctor. I'd never watered the plants.
And you're talking to very sick people.
Absolutely.
Or people with all sorts of ailments, rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera.
The major problem is, you know, it's $400 an ounce, and we were sitting here trying to bring the price down so that people on Social Security who have all these ailments, like you said, rheumatoid arthritis and AIDS and God knows what else.
Debilitating back pain, which describes a whole bunch of Americans out there.
Or a rage disorder, which causes you to beat your wife and children.
Yeah, one of those came in to testify against me, and we found out that since he's come to see me and then got off the marijuana, he had a felony conviction for robbery.
Three victims, three robberies.
So while he was taking the marijuana medicinally to control his psychological rages, he didn't do these things, but then after he stopped taking it, he did do these things.
Right, because the government came and turned him into a snitch, and so he became afraid to come back to my office and get recertified. So he stopped using marijuana and committed crime.
It's fair time again, and this year we're homegrown at the Monterey County Fair. We're talking 6 big days of family-packed entertainment from Tuesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 19th. Stop by every day for free headline entertainment, including the Paul Thorne Band, War, Pam Tillis, Night Ranger, plus our homegrown band showcase featuring top local bands. Your entire family will love the free exhibits, including the Busy Bee Dogs and Hugo the One Man Band. You will love the Beer and Wine Pavilion featuring homegrown beers and wines. All this and much, much more just for $8 if you're an adult. Admission for 6 to 12 year olds is only $4, and kids under 6 get in for free. Kids Day is Tuesday, Seniors Day is Wednesday, and Military Appreciation Day is Thursday. From August 14th through August 19th, the fun will be at the 2007 Monterey Fair. Don't miss it. For information and to buy tickets, go online at www.montereycountyfair.com or call the fair office at 831-372-1000. That's 831-372-1000 for the homegrown Monterey County Fair.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Everyone wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
That's Cedar on Sundays, 1 to 4 p.m. on 1240 Talk City KSAC.
Yes, you did. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, U.S. versus Molly Fry, Dr.
Schaefer.
Molly Fry, Fry and Schaefer, lawyer Dale Schaefer. And I am so fascinated with this case, and I am proud to be because, you know, usually the media, as I said before, they'll only cover things like Paris Hilton's DUI conviction or whatever. I want to talk about this every day until it's over. It seems like it may be over sooner than we thought, perhaps because the prosecution rested their case in chief today. Defense case starts on Monday, right, Lawrence?
Correct.
And so we would like lots of people who support and who really have that question, like, by what authority does the federal government tell human beings that they can't use a plant? A plant, a little plant that can cut down on inflammation, that can help you eat if you're taking chemotherapy and you're wasting away to nothing, that can save your life. By what authority, by what divine authority does the federal government tell us we can't do that?
They're calling Congress divine? That's new.
No.
Or the Supreme Court?
No.
Even newer.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, exactly.
These are political animals,
That's
like
right.
Mr. Sarah's client, who was going to run for district attorney.
Now, I was just
going to
mention, in court today, it came out, and it came out through the lips of a federal agent about Dale Schaefer running for district attorney. Tell me, about this testimony.
Well, Lawrence was cross-examining the DEA agent and asked him if my running for DA had anything to do with their decision to execute the search warrant when they did, and he said yes.
He said yes.
He backed way up.
He tried to back way off by saying that, my daughter had told him in some conversation that we were going to clean the place up because I was running for DA, but they made no attempts to surveil the property to see if we were hauling plants away or anything like that. And they flew over and took snapshots of the garden, and the garden was the same when they showed up. We hadn't taken anything off the property. I was trying to clean my house up in case somebody came over to see who the DA candidate was.
You were running for district attorney. Now, would there be some vested interest by those in power to have someone like you from becoming a district attorney?
Well, by someone like me who looks favorably upon the medical marijuana movement, I'd say yes.
So this was really triggered by, and they're not supposed to make their decisions based on a political concern. I mean, Lawrence?
I hope not.
Well, they're not supposed to, but yes. This case had already been taken by the false friends of Dale's, who was discussing how to correctly implement California's law.
Yeah.
They took it to the local district attorney, who said Dale was following the California law.
So the DA who was in power at the time had no problems with Dale Schaefer.
He's not the one who had anything to
no.
do with the raid.
No.
It was the federal
it
government.
It was the federal government when they found this out. So I would call this, would I be so crazy? I mean, I'm just a girl. I'm just a, you know, I went to law school late in life, passed the bar at 50. But seems to me this is a political prosecution, a political persecution. Would I be so far off the mark, do you think?
Not at all. This is way too small to be a federal case. It's because of their activism. They got involved because of tiny amounts sent through UPS, and it was even sent through UPS. We asked Mr. Harvey, who they took into their home and who lived there and started his own business out of their house. I asked him why he didn't just send it from the post office, and he said, "Because I ain't no idiot." From his point of view, that was federal jurisdiction.
Yeah,
he didn't
exactly.
understand. Nobody really understood.
Right. Oh my goodness. Well, let's take some calls. Let's take a call quickly on this. Let's talk to Mike in Sacramento on line one. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, Christine. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Got about a minute here, so go ahead.
Hello, all the rest of you. Hey, I just wanted to say very quickly that I agree with what you said about us not having many rights left. If you look at the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, Bill of Rights, I think the only one that you basically have left is the right not to quarter any British soldiers. All the rest of them are gone. And also, if you look at the rest of them, just about every one of them that doesn't deal with corporations has been so stripped out that there's really nothing left. So the only right you have left in the United States is the right to do as you're told. And anyone that pretends any other way is probably lying to you.
Well, yes, so you would agree with me that, in the answer to this question, what right does any government have to tell, what right does anyone have to tell another human being that they can't use a plant that's here on this earth?
And then if you do what you're told by when the state officials, you just might line yourself up to be attacked by the federal officials.
That's some catch, that catch 22, isn't it?
And I thank you for the call, Mike. And I certainly don't think, and you can all comment on this, that any of this breeds respect for our government at a time where we need, you know, you would think you would want to have, you know, as I say, I'm a 10th generation American. I love my country, but this breeds nothing but disrespect for the government when they presume to tell a physician who is helping people, that she really can't do that, that we're going to take away your license to practice medicine. You're not going to help anybody. We're going to make sure of it. I don't think that breeds respect for our government. You want to weigh in on that?
Well, I certainly think that it's beneath contempt for the federal government to disrespect all those Californians who voted to pass the Compassionate Use Act.
5 million of them.
And isn't this federal prosecution designed to eradicate the Compassionate Use Act? Isn't it being used as a weapon against an initiative?
We need to fight back, folks, in my opinion. I think we need to question authority. And, of course, we do not want the jury listening to this program. Absolutely. We hope they will listen to the judge. But people in general question authority, and that means in the deliberative process when you're a jury as well. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, Not Guilty, Not Guilty.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road, and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
We're back, and you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, also on all of Peter B's excellent stations in Portland, Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon. Hi, everybody. Monterey Peninsula and Eureka, all of our friends in all of those radio markets. And I am keeping track of, and we'll do this every day of the trial. For once, the media is going to cover something that's really important. And this is about our rights. And this is about our rights to use a substance that the medical community, all this peer review, not a lot of science, but certainly enough, I would say, University of California and others, pointing to the efficacy of medicinal marijuana for a whole host of things, including AIDS patients, cancer patients, people with arthritis, people with...
I'd say a lot of science.
More.
What the agents did today is shocking to me. They forged medical recommendations from Todd McCurea, who just had a full-page obituary in the New York Times. He took the research done from England in the last century, from the day that that marijuana is brought over as medicine from India.
Mm-hmm.
It's been studied by Western medicine.
Yeah.
You know, peer review and all that is fairly new, and it's been tested and tested and tested. He put all the studies together right after he left the National Institute of Health in the early 70s. That's how long he had done it, and he just died. And this is the guy, because they didn't like him for the same reason they didn't like Molly, because he thought it was a medicine that was safe and effective,
right,
and recommended a lot. This is the guy. They forged his recommendations in order to go listen to Heather talk about how it can be used topically for arthritis and can be eaten for certain other ailments. So I just want to put a plug in for Todd, who was a friend of all of ours.
Well, absolutely, and did important
and a beautiful
things.
Man.
Oh, yes, wonderful man.
Now, this is all lovely and everything, but this couldn't be costing the taxpayers of this country much money. I mean, it's a simple case. Lawrence, is this costing the people of the United States who pay for federal procedures here, federal court procedures, investigators, prosecutors, courtroom, judge, court reporter, all of that? Is this costing the people a pretty penny or not so much money, do you think?
Well, they spend more in Iraq in a week, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, that's true.
But it doesn't improve the dikes in New Orleans at all, or in the Delta here in California.
So you'd say, what? How much money do you think is being spent on this trial? So, or will, when it's all said
and case,
done, on the case?
Remember, the case started in 1999 with these little envelopes that this guy sent from cool California to some patients. A little 1/8 of an ounce supplies of marijuana that had been prescribed, and that was 99. This is 2007 in the federal jury trial. So, you know, the feds spend our money. I think the federal government is partly a conspiracy to get California to pay Alabama money. But they're spending a lot in this case, not just hundreds of thousands of dollars, but probably
maybe as much as a million, do you think?
I think so, just the way I see it.
Well,
so
I certainly know that my other doctor friends are really frightened. If
sure,
it goes bad.
Flights over. Go ahead, Molly.
Well, if it goes bad for Dale and I, that they will have free reign to shut down every doctor in the in California who is responding to the 5 million people who voted yes for medical marijuana. And, you know, I'm fighting for all the people who are, you know, desperately in need of marijuana, and then I'm fighting for all the doctors who want to provide this service. And I just don't believe that. I do believe strongly in God, and I don't believe that this is going to go bad. These people on the jury seem like they're sensible, they're young, they're old, they're all between, everywhere, and I hope they're not listening, but I hope that they are thinking all weekend about what Tony Serra said today.
They have a duty to ask a larger question here, you know, I think, in their deliberative process.
It's a big question, and I hope the longer they deliberate, the longer that they will really bring to the forefront the issues that are apparent here. Obviously, we had this narcotics agent who came into our house, who I served him coffee. They sat with us. you know, we showed them everything we were doing. And Tony,
you weren't
said,
hiding this.
No, we weren't hiding this. We were calling them up. We asked if we could give these grow classes. They gave us permission on a state level while all the time setting us up on a federal level. And Tony said, you know, come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take some more calls from people listening right now. Let's go to Jennifer on line one. Hey, Jennifer, how are you? You're on Talk City.
Hi, thank you.
Go ahead.
I've been missing some of this, but is it the case that the judge has excluded all evidence of the California law and you're relying on it?
No, well, he's excluded all reference to California law, and we're not relying on it directly, but indirectly the jury has heard that we were advocates for California law, and I think they've heard we followed California law, and they've even heard that we had permission from local authorities under California law to do what we were doing.
Okay.
However, it's not a defense that they were trying to follow the federal law and that they had gotten advice.
It doesn't negate any element of the offense?
No, because it's a general intent crime is the ruling so far.
Yeah,
if the case goes to appeal, it may be different. There's a split right here in the district courts on the issue.
And they are hearing all the evidence of them taking these agents into their home and trying to educate the agents.
Absolutely.
Well, here's hoping the jurors are actually paying attention.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the call, Jennifer. Let's go to Jake in Arcata on line two. Hey, Jake, you're on Talk City.
Hey, Christine. You know, I'd just like to point out the hypocrisy of the Bush administration.
Please.
Coming in here and prosecuting people for providing medicine to sick people. You know, this war on drugs is a joke when you consider that the head of the Bush administration, George W. himself, is a drunk and a cocaine addict. At this point, don't you think the Republican hypocrisy is just getting a little sickening?
Now, what do you think about this? Because we're going to ask people on Monday, and about what time, folks? 1 o'clock, do you think?
1 o'clock-ish,
to gather at the federal courthouse here. It's a lovely building, a lovely federal courthouse here in Sacramento, 5th
right
and
by
I
the
Street.
Train
I actually station. Like the building. It's kind of a neat building, you know.
It's got wonderful things written all over the...
Too counts. Bad they don't follow them.
Yes, and some nice art and everything. But anyway, actually, the judge who swore me in when I passed the bar, Judge Shubb, who was at that time and as a favor to a personal friend, and it was in the old courthouse, and he would kind of joke about when they build the new one, I hope it'll have a view of the new ballpark, you see. So he was very cute about that. And he's a Reagan appointee. Anyway, Bush appointee, the first Bush. But... what was I thinking? Oh, yeah, Jake, so you're going on about this. You think it's sheer hypocrisy. We're asking people to show up on Monday at 5th and I Street at that same same federal courthouse with a view of the ballpark over here from the
time,
upper levels.
But make your own.
Make your own. And I'm wondering, Lawrence, do you think that the federal marshals would let me have a sign which shows that great poster? I just love this picture. It's a poster I found of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Before he was governor, the boobin grabber, before he was governor of California, and he is got all the muscles, and he's got a big T-shirt on that says, well, and I don't know if he had this printed up for himself, but it wouldn't surprise me, Arnold is numero uno, and he is smoking a big, fat marijuana cigarette, and not for medicinal purposes. You think the federal marshals might be a little upset at that image if I had a big poster?
No,
everybody
I think
loves that
do
movie.
It.
That's pumping iron, you know. That's,
yeah, you know.
That's why we elected him.
That's
somebody should make flyers of that picture. Hey, Christine, somebody should make flyers of that picture of Arnold smoking pot, you know, put up everywhere around town.
Well, I had a nice phone call, and I hope this gentleman is listening down in Carmel, who is a graphic artist, and he and his son had some ideas for great T-shirts. Unfortunately, the timeline's a little closer because we need people to be out there. Oh, maybe they could be out there for closing arguments as well. But Monday, we need people to show their support. And I would also like to invite physicians, because many physicians have this issue. They feel this reluctance to do what is best for their patients because they don't know what the hell is going to come down the pike at them. They really can't be sure. And we would like physicians out there in their white coats and with their stethoscopes, you know, kind of like one of those, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on television, to show support for Molly and Dale. That would be great also.
You know, it's little known that when Congress was asked to criminalize marijuana, Congress actually asked the senator proponent, a guy named Sam Rayburn, what the position of the American Medical Association was on the issue of criminalizing marijuana. And so as not to tell Congress that the AMA opposed criminalization of marijuana, one of the oldest and most benign substances in the pharmacopoeia of medicinal substances.
Right.
Rayburn lied. And he told
them. And they named a building after him for that because he lied. See, that's how you get ahead there.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. And I have to ask, you know, lots of Americans out there, can anyone tell me something bad about medicinal marijuana? Some reason why the federal government wanting
to get you arrested.
Well, that I know that, Dale, but I mean something bad about it that would legitimize the federal government's concern about this. Is there anyone who, and I ask you, and the phone lines are open.
Hard to tax.
It's hard to tax. That's not a good
enough
reason.
I thought of a good way to do it. You look, you put it on the homeowner's tax, and you say, if you're going to grow medicinal marijuana, you need an extra certificate, and I'd be willing to pay $5,000 per house.
That's my money, too.
That's an awful lot.
But I'm trying to think of something that would motivate them. $5,000 per people, that's 1 year of use, or maybe it's a 10-year certificate. I don't know.
So, yes, I think they would be very happy if there was some way to tax them. That might, you know. But then again, they like to characterize people. In fact, when we left here the other day, I'm absolutely sure there were two federal agents dressed as men in Dockers and shirts with little phones on their hips, and they were just giving me the look. So I'm ready. I think next time we'll take their picture and put it on the website.
I got told I was hippie-ish when I saw this one patient who testified against me. She said, oh, well, Dr. Fry came in wearing a hippie-ish skirt. Now, what is a hippie-ish skirt?
Ladies and gentlemen, can anyone tell me what a hippie-ish skirt is? Because I'm really not sure what that means. And so what? It's a throwback to the 60s, the summer of love, and it has flowers on it. We got to stop that in America right now, ladies and gentlemen. This country cannot continue with flowered skirts. Let's go to Debbie and Davis on line one. Hey, Debbie, you're on Talk City.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hi, Christine. I've been following this, and because I'm very interested in this, I kind of feel it's, you know, a propaganda machine of our government. But I attended this this training seminar as a teacher, and it was supposed to tell us how, you know, we can tell if a student has a drug problem. And, you know, I go in there expecting, you know, a litany of information on, because for me, you know, the type of drug use for teenagers, meth really upsets me. Ecstasy,
absolutely.
That kind of
that's
guy,
what we need to go after.
Christine, if you saw this guy, you would just, you would have walked out of the room. He was like Mr. G.I., you know, Joe lawyer. And there were, he was like talking, he was like, yeah, I work for the Attorney General. And instantly, I look up, you know, I'm like Gonzalez. And his whole spiel was marijuana is the worst, is the top, most dangerous drug out there in the country because the THC levels is 10 times or 20 times what it was in the 80s. And I know.
That's why you stop smoking if you have a hit or two.
Well, and I'm just kind of like going, well, what about medicinal value? And he says, you know, you tell me what medicinal value marijuana has. No, nothing out there has proved. And I'm like, you are lying to us because I've investigated. So, you know, they're going from school district to school district to
spreading on truth.
Yes, creating this propaganda about, you know, what you said as far as marijuana, one of the most benign pharmaceutical
that was drugs. Nedra.
Right, and it just was, I walked out. I just
Debbie, I'm glad you did.
Out.
Thanks for the call. We're out of time. I really appreciate it. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240. Are you listening, federal agents? That's KSAC 1240 AM. Talk City. I'm Christine Kraft. 877-766-1240. Stay tuned.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Acura TSX, a four-door compact, stylish, well-engineered. For $30,000, you get a lot to like. The TSX has a 2.4-liter fuel-injected four-cylinder engine with a five-speed automatic and has plenty of power and acceleration for its size. Acura promises no tune-ups for over 100,000 miles and gives you a six-year powertrain warranty.
Great handling, excellent traction. Inside, it's loaded with accessories. GPS navigation system with a great display, satellite radio, his and hers climate control, moonroof, and full airbags. Pretty big trunk, too. If I had anything critical to say about the TSX, you'd hear it right here. Test drive it before you buy an Infiniti, Volvo, or BMW in this price range. By the numbers, the Acura TSX gets 22 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, stickers in California for about $30,000.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Yeah, there we go. Take a look at traffic. Let's start off with a problem being reported from CHP, and they're telling us about, here it is, it's Highway 152 at Lover's Lane. It is a pickup truck hooked to a dolly. Apparently, it's partially blocking the lane there. They're not being really specific on what's going on there. Injury crash, it's Monterey Blanco Road at Cooper, and that crash being reported. And CHP is on scene there. Also want to mention another problem, Castroville, Highway 1 northbound at Moss Landing. We have a two-vehicle crash. It's on the right shoulder. Ben Lomond, Highway 9 at Alba Road. We have a two-car crash. It, too, on the right shoulder as well. And other than that, with Ashland, forget that one. Castroville, we just told you about that one. And northbound 17, just for the cat, stall vehicle, right lane.
1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and I got a whole room full of people here, including, before I introduce Heather Schaefer, who is the daughter.
Hello.
Let me just introduce, hello. Heather, ever been on the radio before?
No.
And so, how come they didn't indict you, too? Because weren't you teaching people how to make tinctures and ways to apply marijuana to a swollen, I mean, you yourself have an immune system disorder, don't you? And I'm not going to, you know.
That's okay. I have rheumatoid arthritis and I have lupus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So being able to rub, if you have an outbreak of, was it lupus erythematosa or something like that? Charming. Mm-hmm. And it flares up and you would have inflammation and pain, extreme pain, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you were actually teaching, were you not, giving classes on how to cook or use marijuana, not to smoke it, but to use it to cut down on inflammation for people with rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera, et cetera. How come they didn't indict you, too? I guess you weren't running for DA the way Dale was, huh?
I assume that could be possible. I think I was described today as the moderator of a seminar. I did teach people how to trim and how to, you know, create things that are alternative uses, more medicinal uses than just smoking it. Mm-hmm. Why they didn't indict me?
You weren't running for DA.
They threatened us with indicting you.
They threatened. They used me. They nailed me to a cross in front of my daddy to make him squirm.
Yes.
And then they found out he wouldn't.
Now, with lupus and with rheumatoid arthritis, if you had been indicted and convicted and thrown in prison, you could easily die in that setting, and they probably wouldn't care, I would suggest.
I would assume that's probably correct. Yeah, exactly. They would take all my medications away from me.
Yeah. Terrific. Oh, so you're sitting in court every day watching your folks go through this, and your whole family is there. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that inadvertently you got on an elevator the other day and ended up on the 11th floor, which is where the Department of Justice has its offices, and you were accused of trying to intimidate witnesses.
It's actually, it would be a funny story if it wasn't actually happening to me, mm-hmm. but yeah. I, given all of the stress that was going on with the trial and the fact that I have lupus, one of the things I deal with is getting sick to my stomach and vomiting, and I'd ran to the bathroom quite a few times in the middle of testimony, mm-hmm. and it was lunchtime, and I was feeling sick, and I went to the restroom, and I came out, and we usually typically wait for all the jurors to go down yes. before we do, because that's courtesy, and we don't want to put ourselves in an awkward position, and I looked around, and my entire family and everybody that was with us was gone, mm-hmm. so I hit the button to go downstairs, and I have to admit that I'd been sick quite a few times, and I'd had some problems holding down my medications, and I was disoriented, and I got on the elevator and looked up and went, oh, my goodness, I'm on the elevator with a juror. So I was in my heart of hearts trying to get off that elevator
absolutely.
As quickly
yeah,
as possible.
Very tight-lipped, not saying anything, just want to get off the elevator.
Exactly. Right. So right about that time, the doors opened, and I looked up at an angle, and the digital number said 11, but I mistook it for the first floor. So I got off, and which is what my intention was to do anyways. And then I looked around and realized I wasn't on the first floor, mm-hmm. hit the button to go back on the elevator, get on the next elevator, and did notice that the federal prosecutor or the U.S. attorney, and I think that the DEA agent also was on that floor. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. It was a mistake. And the next thing I know,
In court,
they're talking about me intimidating witnesses, and I never saw a witness, but...
Let me just describe Heather. She's mm-hmm. lovely. She has a very, very sweet face, a lovely manner. Not a person that would intimidate anybody, unless you were trying to harm her child, I presume.
Yeah.
Then she might intimidate you.
But
not... hey, Jason, is she an intimidating person? Not at all. You don't think so? You stay... He's just running the board. He has nothing to do with any of this.
I just want to say that I'm sick. I'm surviving cancer. My husband's sick because of his hemophilia. Heather's sick. I mean, as a family goes, we've got a ton of sick people. And the federal government really should step in and tell the jury to go home and forget the whole thing. They've decided to drop the thing.
Oh, stop that. I hear from some of the testimony that you have a bunker, an absolute bunker on your property.
Yeah,
what do you say about that,
escape.
Huh?
It's where you go. We have a fire at our house. It's got a fireproof door, and it's built into the hillside.
Oh.
It's to protect our family
but
from
is the government
burning to death.
Yes, implying that somehow that bunker was used for illicit purposes, like not to protect your life in the event of a fire, that you built a bunker to hide the evidence of your nefarious criminal activity?
Well, we didn't build it. It was there when we bought the property.
Aha!
But that's what they're saying.
Yeah, and you know, the reality is that anything, if you have anything going in that space and a fire does come, you're not going to have room for your family because it's such a small space. It's like an 8x8.
This is
and,
like the,
yeah,
the
it's
built
a,
up version of the
bomb shelters.
Yes, or
yeah.
when the firefighters go out to fight the big fires, like up in Tahoe, they'll have those, there's like a potato wrapper.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the blanket.
Exactly, but this is one big enough for a whole family.
It's a cinder block room.
Mm-hmm. Covered with about 5 feet of dirt
but the feds were flying over your property. In fact, there's been testimony in this trial that there were flights all the time, flights after
More
flights
than they could
after
flights,
and they don't even know how many flights they took. May I suggest that each one of these flights costs the taxpayers of this country a pretty penny? It's not cheap to take up a plane and do surveillance, but they didn't even keep track of how many times they flew over.
Well, it's better duty than looking for Osama, let me tell you.
Just
fly over to law-abiding people and their families.
Yeah,
folks,
no risk. Nobody's going to shoot at you.
And spend the taxpayers' dollars surveilling a law-abiding doctor and his law-abiding and her law-abiding lawyer husband.
You know what? We want our federal government to do a good job at getting rid of things that are a risk to our security and our health and our lives as Americans. I would have no problem with the federal government going after, and I would hope they would do more of it, the methamphetamine scourge that characterizes this part of the country.
Amen.
People who will come at you, and I understand for the federal agents it's a more difficult deal because when they're flying over that property, some whacked out meth user is likely to shoot them, okay?
Or how about the scourge of gun violence in Oakland? You know, why not sic some federal agents on the source of illegal weapons and ammunition. Now, it may be a little more dangerous.
Lots more dangerous. It's risky, but they're well-trained. We, the people, have spent a lot of money to train them to do an important job in protecting us, and they should be ashamed of this prosecution,
yeah,
in my view.
Yeah, to attack two innocent and sick people because they want to make a name for themselves.
Well, it's really wrong. And by the way, we will have you on tomorrow again.
No, we're not.
Oh, that's right. Monday. So anybody wants to support, because they're not in session tomorrow. It's 4 days a week.
Dark tomorrow.
The defense case in chief begins on Monday at 1:30 p.m. at the federal courthouse. Fifth and I.
Freudian slip.
No, I didn't mean that at all. I have great respect. Anyway, so you want to be sure, if you can come and join us, I'll be there 1 o'clock. Everybody, be out there and support. 1 o'clock, 5th and I. I'll remind you again tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming in here. I hope it helps.
Thank you, Heather.
You did just great. All right, folks, you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' radio stations. One more day of that before my magic buggy turns back into a luscious pumpkin, but I'm enjoying it. We'll see you tomorrow again at 3. Bye-bye. Start with one step.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale, reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet our own Indiana Jones, Glenn Plantone. He travels the world to find the best investment properties. Glenn is president of National New Builds and will be discussing some very hot investment opportunities in the great state of Tennessee. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. All this and more Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. An update from the mine.
We've made good progress underground. We've advanced a total of 280 feet.
Richard Stickler, head of the Mine Safety and Health Administration. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports the drilling from above ground has made progress, but not as fast as rescue workers hoped.
They have not reached the miners, though. One of the big drills is just within a couple of hundred feet, but it could be early morning before it bores down into the area where the miners are believed trapped. Mine safety officials will only say they will get there as soon as they can. In the meantime, a C-17 plane is on its way from Mississippi, stopping in Kansas to pick up a truck with sophisticated camera equipment that was already headed here. That will speed its journey.
Still no telling whether the six trapped men are dead or alive. Officials in Minneapolis say they now believe divers have recovered a third body from the Mississippi. That would bring the confirmed death toll from the bridge collapse to 8, with 5 people still missing. Tight credit and the collapse of the subprime mortgage industry weighed heavily on the stock market today.
It looks like the impact is going to be substantial and not good.
Analyst Hugh Johnson, the Dow lost 387 points, nearly 3%, to close at 13,270. That follows a 153-point gain just yesterday. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
There are a lot of catalysts right now for this market. We have earnings that continue to come in pretty strong, but you know they're always at war with the fact that we've got this credit market and the housing slump that continue to hurt investor confidence.
It's global. Japan's Nikkei stock index fell more than 2% shortly after the Tokyo market's Friday morning open. Just before he left Washington today, President Bush held a news conference, once again defending his decision to stay in Iraq.
It does matter. Long-term consequences will face our country if we leave before the job is done.
Mr. Bush expressed some skepticism about the warm visit between Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki and Iran's President Ahmadinejad. If the signal is that Iran is constructive, he said, I will have to have a heart-to-heart with my friend the Prime Minister. The crew of Space Shuttle Endeavour spent their first day in orbit using the robot arm to inspect for damage during liftoff. As CBS News correspondent Peter King reports, they didn't find very much.
The pictures show three small pieces of foam may have hit Endeavour on its way up, but Mission Management Team Chair John Shannon says